Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Rocket Mortgage. Confidence. Support for the Adam Carolla Show comes from our friends at Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Why can't clients get approved in minutes, not weeks? Or make adjustments to their rate and term in real time? Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans answered those questions and more. It gives you the confidence to buy a home or refinance your existing loan. Fully understand all the details and be confident you're getting the right mortgage for you. That's right. That's what Rocket Mortgage does. Whether you're looking to buy your first home or your 10th, with Rocket Mortgage, you get a transparent online process. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. What else do you need to know? And again, these guys support the show and are great sponsors. So, Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. To get started, just go to rocketmortgage.com/Adam. That's rocketmortgage.com/Adam.
Equal housing lender, licensed in all 50 states. NMLS, consumeraccess.org, number 3030. From Corolla One Studios in Glendale, California, this is the Adam Carolla Show. Adam's guest today, Theo Vaughn, with Gina Grad on news and Bald Brian on sound effects, plus a spirited round of blah, blah, blog. And now, snubbed for an Emmy for Adam Carolla and Friends Build Stuff Live. Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but to get it on. Mandate, get it on. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for telling a friend. We love that about you, and we rely on that, and that's why we do the show. Good day, Gina Grad.
Good day to you.
And Paul Bryan.
I'm pissed. Who's around?
Theo Vaughn, I love me some Theo Vaughn. So Theo's coming in, and when he does, well, we might break a little early because we love Theo so much that when he does show up, we'll just take a quick break and get him up in there. All right, first things first, football.
Mm-hmm.
I did not do any gambling this weekend, but I told anyone I knew, bet on the Patriots because they lost, and the Patriots, after they lose, come back and prove a point, and bet the Rams to lose, because when the Rams win, they come back
and prove a point
as well, and got to watch the Rams lose, and the Patriots dominate.
You're saying points were made.
Points were made.
Ironically, not by the Rams.
It's so, and I always think a hard luck Gary over here when I see those when I see those Chargers, because there's been the Rams are if you're a Rams fan, you're just they're bad, but the Chargers just find different ways to lose every single week. It's absolutely insane, and as a matter of fact, I really think in life in general, whether it's a job or a team, it's better off. You're better off having a quarterback that just flames out and you can move on than a guy like Philip Rivers, who you can never really get rid of because
he's just good enough.
Because he can do things, but you still don't win any games. Mm-hmm. It makes you just hang on and hang on and hang on.
Next thing you know, you got 12, 13 years of Philip Rivers and a couple good wins to show for it, but nothing, you know, nothing of substance.
Nope. It's the end of the game every single time. The ball's in his hands. We're going to go downfield, whatever. But whatever it is, they figure out a way to lose.
Yep.
All right. So there's that.
They'll end up with a Hall of Fame quarterback, probably. But, I mean, he's a borderline guy, but I would say probably Hall of Fame quarterback. But is that worth it at the end of the day after 13, 14 years?
You are making Gary suicidal.
Gary, Hall of Fame quarterback, yes or no?
If he wins the playoff games, maybe, but I don't think he's won one yet.
He'll put up the kind of numbers.
He lost in the AFC Championship to the Patriots at least once, right?
Okay, I'm thinking of the Chargers era. I wasn't as aware of him before that, but I doubt it. I mean, I don't know. He I agree with you. He's borderline because his numbers are solid. But
you saying Chargers era?
I thought.
Where was he before that?
Brian just said he was with the Patriots.
I said against the Patriots.
To the Patriots in the AFC Championship game. I thought.
He's always been with the Chargers, right? What the hell kind of fan are you?
I thought so too. I was confused.
Look at Dawson over there, smugly preening. Finally, a little payback. It's been a long time coming with this Charger payback.
I remember, though, I went to a preseason game when Philip Rivers was first signed, and they played Drew Brees throughout the whole show, and Drew just was amazing. The Drew Brees that you saw in New Orleans the following year.
Yep.
And, yeah.
Maybe they should have kept him.
He's 4-5 in the playoffs, including at least one trip to the AFC Championship.
So the other thing I was laughing about is Tony Gonzalez getting bumped off the all-time receptions, touchdown reception list by Gates. That's good news for Chargers, but it's so funny. It's like there's one Hispanic guy who will be there's one Hispanic guy who holds one receiving record and probably forever.
It'll be a while.
And it'll be a while. He had it.
Unless Antonio Brown comes out of nowhere.
Yes.
No, he's not Hispanic.
He had it. Gonzalez had it for about 3 or 4 years, maybe.
Yeah.
Because he's been retired for 3 or 4 years. Yeah. All right. Anyway, Gates got that. All right. We got some blah, blah, blog to get to. Emmy talk you guys watch.
Oh, yeah.
You enjoy.
This was one of the more entertaining Emmys, I think, of the last few years.
Yeah.
Some good bits. Stephen Colbert was strong. And, of course, they need to be sending Donald Trump an edible arrangement every day for the material they've gotten.
It's kind of – well, I don't know. We can get into it.
We have some clips.
A couple things I've noticed. A couple things. Missing the cleavage on the girls. A lot of A and B cups floating through there. And the reason I know it is because they're going to this big wide mouth bass front shirt, big V-neck thing, and they're double sticking the chiffon to the titties, but it's not accentuating anything.
No. There's you have to flatten it to get that.
We used to like lift and separate. Now we're just separating.
The fashion's there.
Yeah, but
because
there's something.
The V-neck is open to the belly button.
Mm-hmm.
And what I'm saying is like there used to be this cleavage move where you'd kind of gather them up and push them up. Now it's like tamp them down and spread them out.
Neutral corners.
We're literally segregating titties.
Yeah. Jim Crow laws.
I vow today I will
get
never
to the back of the bra. Sorry,
I will never do that. I will never
do
that.
I make this
solemn vow.
Prove it.
It's kind of a weird look. And again, I know all of this has to be driven by gay men because it's not a look that straight dudes are into.
Yeah.
Nobody says, oh, look at the sternum on that girl. I mean, look at that. Look at that chest bone. Like it's really protruding.
Yeah,
it's weird. It's like flat, weird, bony. It's kind of what 13-year-old boys look like with their shirts off.
I think I tweeted the exact same thing years ago. Like, why did sternums become like the thing you're putting forward? Like, oh, chest bones.
Well, it's weird. It's a weird thing to be attracted to. It's something that men and teenage boys have for days. So we're looking for stuff we don't have. You know what I mean? Like we're treating we're treating it like a gin rummy hand. You know what I mean? Like got it, need it, discard. I'll give you a ball sack. You give me some titty. Like that's what guys are into. So I think what's going on, but that you guys tell me, the fake boob era's kind of out. It's considered gauche or something. Mm-hmm. We're past the fake titties. The super underweight thing is in, and so now we got this combination of emaciated with, but we're trying to salvage some cleavage in the emaciated thing.
Mm-hmm.
And
nothing.
The problem is you can't. It's really hard to have both
those
looks going simultaneously.
Yeah, don't go
it's
together.
Impossible.
So lots of chicks that are pretty emaciated, this is a perfect thing. It's a perfect example of having a bunch of shit laid on the doorstep of dudes in the name of males and heterosexual males and evil. We never said we want super skinny chicks. No dude has ever said that. You guys decided that this is a good look with your gay friends and then blamed us. Like, oh, we can't eat anymore because guys won't accept. Never heard a guy say it. Never. Yes, you can be chunky and you can be overweight, but no guy I've ever met wants a beanpole.
We have a theory about this. You know how there's always, throughout history, there's always the Farrah Fawcett or the Pamela Anderson or whoever that de facto fill in the blank. Oh, she's good, but she's no blank.
Female impersonator.
Right. No, the hottest girl at the time, like the Pamela Anderson is like, you know, the hot one at the time. And
right.
I feel like the last person we had that we all agreed on was Angelina Jolie. And I feel like she was also the last person to pull off the rare super skinny but big boob thing. And I feel mm-hmm. like we're still chasing that semi-impossible standard.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she's very slender, was very slender, with very large natural breasts. And I think a lot of people are still sort of chasing that ideal, and it's very, very, very hard to do.
Is it more complicated than that, though? You're oversimplifying it, Brian.
I feel like I was very verbose.
There's some there. That's part of it. It's the, look, I'll give you an example. The Breakfast at Tiffany's chick.
Audrey Hepburn.
Audrey Hepburn is a girl that only girls and gay guys talk about. Straight guys never use her as an example.
Classic beauty,
they say
ballerina
she's
body.
Pretty, she's pretty, but give us Anne Margaret when she was 23, or Raquel Welch.
Bridget Bardot
or Gina Lola Brigida or something like that. Just give us one of them.
The
pixie haircut and everything, that's great. That's sweet. With the long neck, sweet. But not what guys talk about. I'd love to get some sort of beat off calculator. Like you have the guys who stand in front of the clubs with the clicker,
mm-hmm.
you know, so the fire marshal doesn't shut it down. The jacks, just, I don't know if we could go by stroke or go by.
No.
Okay, yeah.
Because stroke gives young boys a big advantage. You know,
that's
the guys
right.
Are quick to finish.
I'm just saying.
A lot of Hannah Montana, Miley Cyrus thing going on.
The ones you try to foist upon us versus the Raquel Welches of the world, it is 1,000 to 1.
Right.
And that's, so, chicks were like way too skinny, and then because they were way too skinny, they were trying to do the cleavage, but the cleavage wasn't working out because all they were doing is showing their lack of cleavage. Mm-hmm. And double sticking the material to their plate, their mm-hmm. chest plate.
That's true.
Yes.
That's exactly it. Now, I don't know if you noticed the equal and opposite reaction, the Cacique commercial that ran a few times in the middle of the show. Did you see this with Ashley Graham and the girl from Orange is the New Black? And get a load of this.
With the fat broads?
Oh, my God.
I saw.
So you know the Victoria's Secret's angel campaign? This is the no angel campaign.
All right. Let me say this. Yeah. I've said it a million times. Male and female, but certainly female. They do the plus size model thing, and everyone's a hero, and everyone's a hero, and she's plus size. They never have a plus size face. It's their body parts are plus size. Their
contoured.
Face always looks very contoured. They never go full. Full fat chick is fat chick. Like, that's double chin fat chick. Any plus size model, if you just show their face, you go, that's a beautiful person. And then her parts are bigger.
A little curvier.
You go full plus size. When you're full plus size gal, your face is plus size too. And that comes with a couple extra chins. But all right. I was falling in love with the Dove commercial.
Oh, that was the other one. I was hoping you were going to bring up the pits.
The Dove commercial.
That was the best.
Okay.
Okay, this first.
All right.
I've struggled with my stomach for a really long time. The truth is,
I have love handles.
I've had cellulite since I was 11 years old.
I have stretch marks.
This is who I am.
I dare you.
I dare you
to own it.
Own it.
All of it.
I dare you to get rid of filters.
Dare to be your sexy.
The truth is,
I'm no angel.
I'm no angel.
I'm sure as hell no angel.
And I am still no angel.
Cacique, exclusively at Lane Bryant.
Lose the weight, chubby.
Oh, I don't think that was you at the end when I saw
the
it.
The Dove one.
Oh, please get the Dove one.
You got to get the Dove one.
I screamed your name when I saw that.
All right. Well, first couple things. When you're carrying around an extra, not 10 or 20 pounds, but when you're carrying around an extra 70 or 80 pounds, that's really unhealthy for you. You know,
doesn't bode well for your longevity.
The same people that are always, you know, lecturing everyone about secondhand smoke or about how we have to pay for whatever because you chose to, whether, you know, you're drinking a soda or you're smoking a cigarette, but that comes out of our, you know, or you're riding a motorcycle with no helmet. Who's going to pay for it if you get into an accident, whatever? Well, who's going to pay for it? You're carrying around an extra 100 pounds and you're going to end up dying, you know, getting diseases and doing whatever. So first off, I don't really care about the shape part, but let's not celebrate what is probably an unhealthy lifestyle. When you're walking around with 50, 60, 70 pounds on you, that's tough on the joints. It's tough on, it's tough on everything.
Of course.
It's tough on your kids. Like, it's tough on the suspension of your Toyota.
You will likely not live a full life.
Right. So let's not celebrate something that's unhealthy. You're asking us, and look, be who you want to be, do what you want to do, but don't ask us to celebrate with you or celebrate the fact that you're borderline morbidly obese and you're happy about it.
Right. Well, as I think it goes the other way too with, you know, women who are 30 pounds underweight and they're showing off their concave sternum.
Ugh. I agree with that.
I agree with
it goes both ways.
I agree with me 100% of the time.
Both should not be
and
celebrated.
Twice on Sunday. Now the
there's a perfect ideal that should be celebrated and that's it.
Yes.
Just a perfect sweet spot.
Just put my picture up.
Her name is Gisele Bündchen and that is it.
Wait,
and that isn't even from now. That's from when she did
prime.
When she did the movie Taxi. Okay, so there's that. The other one that I try to explain to anyone who listen, you can't. So whether you're on the advertising council over there for Dove, by the way, all you guys do is peddle soap to people. Like this whole notion that, you know, or the Procter & Gamble or whoever Dove is, this whole notion that they care is, I love that. Mm-hmm. Again, you can judge exactly where we're at in society by watching commercials. We know where we're at now, right in the middle of Pussville. That's why we're having all these commercials. But they're trying to explain to us what the new sexy is or what the new beautiful is. It will never work, but it will never work as an aesthetic. You can't show me a Chrysler K car from 1982 and explain to me why I should like it. It won't work versus a Jag from the 60s or Ferrari from the 60s. Mm. There's an aesthetic. It's worked out. We've done the math on the aesthetic. The aesthetic is, I sort of tell people all the time, all you have to do is sort of go backwards with things to figure out what the aesthetic is. So you go, all right, you picture a cool hot rod, you know, Ferrari from the 60s or what have you. You go, okay, what's cool about it? Well, what's cool about it is it has a long hood with an engine in front and the back wheels are meaty and the front wheels are a little bit thinner and the shoulders look a little strong in the back and it's kind of sleek in the front and it kind of grows down. It looks aerodynamic and everything. It looks like it's moving when it's standing still. It's kind of
cool.
Pulled back and whatever it is. And they go, fine. So how do you know that's what the aesthetic, why that's a good look? These big tires in the back and the thinner tires in the front. I go, okay, take a car, put the tires in the front, put the big tires in the front and the skinny tires in the back and then step back and look at it. Well, that's not a personal preference. That's an aesthetic that every guy will agree to. And it's just kind of the way it is. Now, if the car's boxier and the tires are thinner and it looks less aerodynamic and so on and so forth, then guys go, well, it looks like a minivan. Like, I don't like the car. And then they look at a Ferrari GTO from 1963 and they go, that's good looking. So with that in mind, there is an aesthetic. Mm. And there's things that happen in different periods with colors and graphics and things that are more and less popular. Yes, go
ahead. The Ford Explorer, which was the number one selling car of the whole 1990s, you look back in it now, it's boxy and it kind of looks very dated and very kind of out of place, but it was revolutionary at the time. So there's these trends that kind of pop up, but they kind of go away just quickly.
Yeah, but nobody thought the Ford Explorer of the 90s was a hot-looking car.
It was a classic beauty.
It was just sort of, it was the novelty of the utility, sport utility when everyone, your choice was drive a minivan. Wrong or Dove commercial, wagon. By the way, Gary.
Oh, or drive a station wagon. I might have led him down the wrong path.
That's all right.
So how do we explain the architecture from 1966 to 1979?
Coke. Yeah. Everyone is super high
on
easy. Coke.
It's the easy.
I mean, it's all over LA and it's an eyesore, and I don't want to live in a building like that.
I agree. The sliding aluminum windows, the bad stucco. I like when they put the glitters in the glitter in the stucco with the sponge trowel, and it's all sandy. So they're little deviations, but generally, when you go to something, whether it's, we can all see now, you go back and you look at Craftsman style or Art Deco style, beautiful, or whatever, and you go, it's amazing, it's amazing. So we can agree. What Dove is attempting to do is try to convince us of something that we cannot be convinced of, which is that she's beautiful, that's beautiful. Right. We'll decide. Being very heavy, you're most likely not going to be mistaken for beautiful in the society we have, the way our, probably most societies, at least the way this one's laid out. And it's kind of the wrong message. But the part that always bumps me is you're not supposed to be focusing on beauty and or the aesthetic. Why is that your message? Why isn't the message, who cares what you look like? It's your brain that matters.
The inherent message is flawed.
Yes, the message isn't everyone is beautiful. The message should be who cares who's beautiful? Crack a book.
Yeah.
That's right.
Maybe a different version of the Dove commercial may have aired during the Emmys, because the one I was thinking was the Letter to the Armpits.
Oh, I saw that one.
That I died laughing.
No, this was just some big old woman, women shaking what they got.
I think what you're talking about is the Dove Real Beauty Productions, where there is endless numbers of just basically Shonda Rhimes interviewing chicks of different shapes and sizes and talking about their beauty.
Well, whatever aired during the Emmys that we're speaking of was a Dove commercial, and it was like the endless beauty thing, and it was a Shonda Rhimes thing, but it was just big husky chicks just shaking their ass and then explaining why they were now beautiful.
But Dove is right on the money. I mean, who's buying
it's
the
iconic
product
now at this point?
Well, not only that, but
how much more product do they have to sell? You know what I mean? You got to cover
a lot of square inches
there. Yes. You got a lot of flesh to go around.
You're right.
All right.
Simple.
Yeah. Gary's got it. Oh, there it is. All right. Now, it's a woman dancing in a sports bra and like yoga pants. And this woman is, I would say, by definition, scientifically morbidly obese. That's what I would say. All right, you can run it. We can take a look at it. If everything has a piano in it.
Very heartfelt.
Yes.
Female camera woman, lighting woman.
Yes. Rip. It's established, or it's a real beauty product. It's also weird, too, and it's like 100% women. Women made this female crew, 100%. Like, I thought the whole deal was we were going to be inclusive with everybody all the time.
I think the entire model of what beauty is needs to be thrown completely out, and we need to start defining what beauty is for ourselves.
For a really long time, I just equated beauty with femininity, and now I think there's a million definitions of beautiful sexual
component
I
as well.
Beauty is pushing forward.
And I got the amputee gal.
I tell my girls, when you persevere through all the challenges in life.
All right. You don't need to. Here's the whole thing. Dove, you got it 100% wrong. You don't define what it is for yourself. Like, when little Bald Brian was in junior high.
Balding Brian
was in junior high and heard the popular gal speak his name.
Not Brian Bishop! Not Brian Bishop! Yeah.
More important at that point that you define what beauty is or that she define what beauty is. Because my whole thing is...
Beauty was defined for me right there.
I would like to see a monster staring back at me every time I looked in the mirror. But with this caveat, if everyone else thought I looked like Dolph Lundgren,
I would make that deal. Now, according to Dove, I should see Dolph Lundgren looking right. back at me or redefine no what I what. Think. And what I think, it's sort of like saying, you know, you define how fast you're going on the freeway. Don't let a cop tell you. It's like
well, I know what that radar gun says.
He's got the thing that writes the tickets.
This is my truth.
Right. Which is not great because... I'll tell you what. Test it out. You take yourself a nice long shower with some Dove.
All right.
Then you redefine what is beautiful to you. Then go to a bar.
Not Brian Bishop.
Yeah. Go to a bar and hang out and see what happens.
You mean after I get my hair blown out?
You redefined it internally. Let me hear her one more time. I just want to hear her phraseology.
Not Brian Bishop.
That's how it went.
All right. I got a call up here. Yes.
Can I bring up something that Gina alluded to? And I wanted to bring this up to you guys. And Gina, you went to college. Speaking of the Audrey Hepburn Breakfast at Tiffany's poster, the iconic yes. poster, you know, it's the sunglasses, and he's so beautiful. What percentage of girls, I would say sorority girls, but girls, who college girls, who have that poster on their wall have seen the movie?
Oh, probably 10%.
I would say, 10% or less, because that is not a good movie. It does not hold up.
It's super racist.
It's very racist, and does not hold up, and I dare any girl who says, oh, I love that movie, sit down and watch it with me, and you tell me which parts you love. It's not going to be a lot.
I think it got their weird lists that get established. You guys are a little bit too young to remember, but... McLean Stevenson, wasn't he from MASH... Yes. McLean, right? Yeah. He did a sitcom called Hello, Larry. And
sounds hilarious.
Like from like 1981. And it was a bad sitcom, but there are many bad sitcoms in the 80s. But somehow Hello, Larry
became
the joke, the Ishtar.
The cop rock.
Yes. Right. Right. Yeah. Became the... So if you wanted to say...
built this city.
Your agent
the de facto number one worst of
right,
all time.
Right, right, but
oh, it's bad. Totally.
It's just, and there's good in that direction too. Yeah. I mean, they falsely inflate Breakfast at Tiffany's, just like they knock down Ishtar Ooh. And whatever it is.
Sorry, finish your thought. But
go ahead.
But what do you think? There's more of girls who have Breakfast at Tiffany's posters who have not seen the movie, higher percentage, or. Black dudes who have Scarface posters who have not seen the movie.
Oh, no
Both
way.
Terrible
no way.
Movies.
The Scarface is not good.
No way. Black people love Scarface. How
but
dare you?
But have they seen it? They love what
Shonda
it is.
Shonda Rhimes has seen Scarface 13 times. Yes.
Do you think it's a good movie?
I'm with you. No, it's
iconic, but don't confuse iconic with good.
It's good, it's good like Taco Bell's good Mexican food. It's just, it is Taco. Mm-hmm. It's Taco Bell. But no, I've never seen an episode of Cribs where the guy said, let me show you my theater that did not have that picture hanging in it.
Right.
And
it's the same posters he's making the rounds amongst all the rappers. Dude, Cribs is at my house this week.
I would say, I don't know for sure, but I would say that Scarface is probably the number one piece of creative material that has been experienced by black people that have no black people. Scarface doesn't have black people in it.
No principal roles, for sure.
I mean, it's usually, you know, it's like, ask 1,000 fans who your favorite, and black fans who your favorite NBA player is. They don't say John Stockton. There's just better.
Mark Price.
Point
guards of the 80s.
They just, it doesn't, you know, they usually.
Jeff Hornacek.
You take something, even take
I'll go
something.
Thunder Dan Marley.
Right, take something like stand-up comedians. The answer will be Chris Rock. It probably won't be Jerry Seinfeld. It'll be Chris Rock because it's just that's their thing.
Sure.
And
who gravitates toward someone who represents your point of view?
Yeah, just
or that's, you identify
that's,
with.
That's where we're at. So that's it. This is weird in that 100% of movie theaters in black owned residents have a poster of Scarface, and I believe they've all enjoyed
you think
the film.
So?
Oh, wow.
I think so. Yes.
All right, higher that percentage then.
All right. Where the hell were we? Oh, what was her wording? Give it to me one more time, Gary.
Entire model of what beauty is needs to be thrown completely out. I think the entire model of what beauty is needs to be thrown completely out. And we need to start defining what beauty is for ourselves.
for a really long
time. So we're living in a time of insane platitudes, right? Where people are just announcing.
Yes.
They're making these proclamations with, like, love the hate or hate the love or whatever it is. Like, things that are sort of like, I don't know what, I don't know what to do with that information.
Combined with things that are not grounded in reality.
Right.
Like, let's throw the whole idea of what beauty is out. Okay. I suppose we could.
Who wants to start?
Get to work on that?
Somebody's going to have to tell the Kardashians. And there's going to be a lot of tears over at that house. No, we don't need to throw it out. And we don't need to redefine it because there's an interesting thought. I got an interesting. Ha! Okay. I got a thought for you guys. I'm going to tease it before I define it. Step off. Step off. Da Vinci, man, in a digital business world. Face-to-face meetings still matter. Skip the noisy coffee shops and expensive hotel conference rooms. Book a Da Vinci meeting room. Instant access to 5,000-plus incredibly affordable meeting rooms in well-known locations in every city. Just search, book, and meet. Comes fully staffed and equipped with the latest tech and high-speed internet. There's a day office, a conference room, boardroom, or training space. Da Vinci is what you need. Starts at just $10 an hour, so look like you know what you're doing, everybody. Entrepreneurs, startups, and Fortune 500 companies enhance their image with professional meeting spaces from Da Vinci. I love this idea.
Smart idea.
It is smart. They got all those spaces. They're all over the country.
We could use this with the cancer walk that I was doing. This would have been a great way to get like the committee together, start planning everything out.
Next year, Da Vinci, baby. Da Vinci. Dawson.
Book your space now at DaVinciMeeting.com/Adam, and the first hour is on them. That's DaVinciMeeting.com/Adam, and your first hour is free. Terms and conditions apply. For details, see DaVinciMeeting.com/Adam. Where are you holding your next meeting?
I've long said that, you know, when people say like, well, how come the men build the bridges and the women are the nurses or the school teachers and the men? And I just go, that's the way it is. That's just, it's weird that you're arguing with what is. It's an insane thought. The notion that, you know, Donald Trump's great, 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 great grandfather made a bunch of decrees that said women go over here and men go over there. And this is what beauty is. And I'll define what the aesthetic is. And I'll see what groups can excel and what groups must be held down. This was all done 1,000 years ago. And now we've just adhered to our overlord's commands. And it's like, things just are. Like, we don't have to throw away what is our aesthetic or our definition of beauty, because it is.
Right.
We happen to think flowers and puppies are more aesthetically pretty than a cockroach. I don't know why, but it is.
It is.
It is. And this notion of like, well, you got to throw that out.
We got to redefine the beauty of insects.
Well, that's kind of impossible.
Yeah.
Because it is. The
you
same
tell your,
way.
You tell Tessa, no, you like this cockroach. Right, you hate this puppy.
You pet it.
Yeah, it looks same. You know, I have a boy and a girl. My son wanted to watch football all day on Sunday. My daughter wanted to go to the mall. She wanted to go shopping. Like, it just is there, and there is no. Well, but what if you exposed Sonny to the majesty of the mall on a football Sunday? He'd be goddamn miserable, and she'd be goddamn miserable if she had to watch us drink beer and watch the Rams lose. It is. Why the argument? Why the pushback on the it is and what is? It's an interesting thing. When people 50 years in the past didn't really argue with just sort of what was. Mm-hmm. We're doing a lot of arguing with what is. Anyway, the woman in the commercial was 70 pounds overweight.
That's probably fair.
Sounds about right.
So for her own health, she should probably lose the weight. But as far as turning everyone around or coaching everyone up on the aesthetic of it, that's going to be, you could sooner get us over to the metric system.
Which would be more helpful.
Yes.
Which would benefit more people.
She weighs 29 stone.
Now, this isn't really...
Is that the Celtic system?
That's very old.
It's not so much devil's advocate, just as a just want to clarify what her point might have been. Was she
saying,
look, and I don't know, I could be wrong, but she's instead of saying, you know, this is how you all should see me, it's look, I know how you see me, I'm trying to redefine how I see myself so I can thrive in this world.
Well, here's what I'd like to... You're right, and you make a point, and... But here's what I'm trying to here's the part that I'm trying to work, which is yes, you're never going to be Gisele Bündchen. So why try and why beat yourself up for not being that way? The problem is you keep using this word beautiful and redefine beauty when the answer is I'm just whatever I am, just like she's whatever she is, and just like he's whatever he is. Right. And there's a job out there for me, and there's a family out there for me, and there are kids who are going to love me, and there's a husband who's going to have sex with me after he gets good and drunk. They're out there. Just go find some. Instead of redefining and instead of relabeling everything, which is a huge waste, you simply just go live your life. And then the answer is, hey, not everyone's a model. But most dudes aren't models, so fine.
That's a good point. Gisele Bündchen is a supermodel. She's touched by God. She's one of five or six people in the world who looks like she does. It's not fair that we hold people to that standard, just like you and I are never going to be John Stockton or Mark Price or any of the great point guards of the 1980s. Players.
Yeah, you just the Mount Rushmore of the NBA. That's right, Larry Bird.
Kevin McHale.
Gail Goodrich.
Danny Ainge. Any Celtic.
I'm waiting for something that sounds remotely familiar.
Bob Cousy. Yeah. Okay. We made
Jerry
our point.
West.
We made our point. Tom Chambers. I don't know. Oh, I'm out of names.
Tom Chambers is pretty good.
That's true. You're right.
Chris Mullin.
All right. There you go. All right. Theo Vaughn should be here soon
Text
enough.
Me, he's about 3 or 4 minutes out.
We've got blah, blah, blog. Rod with 2 D's, 41 from New York. Rod.
Hey, how you doing?
What's going on? So you want to help me out with Pepino Cuevas?
Yeah, I'm Mexican-American by background. Spanish was my first language. Mm-hmm. So I think there are two possibilities here. In Spanish, like in English, certain names have an official nickname, like, you know, Richard Dick or William Bill.
Mm-hmm.
So in Spanish, the nickname for Jose or Jose is Pepe, right?
Uh-huh.
So not have drawn that conclusion.
So that's right, where the Pepino may have come from?
Pepino's like little Pepe?
Or something like that. It's more like, you know, my little buddy Pepe. And so that's option number one.
Yeah.
Option number two is there's a certain part of the male anatomy which looks like a cucumber.
Uh-huh.
Nicknamed.
The thumb.
So when you have a big one of those, they call you Pepino.
Nice. Yeah, spread the word.
So it's very possible that Mr. Cuevas has a very large penis.
So Pepino Cuevas is a lightweight champion Mexican boxer.
All right.
And I asked Olga what Pepino meant, and she told me it meant cucumber, right?
Yeah, so it does mean cucumber.
Right.
When you're buying cucumbers, you ask for pepinos.
Right. So I said cucumber, that's not going to instill a lot of fear in the hearts of the opponent. But then little buddy...
Uh-huh.
You know, there's really only two, because it can't be as dork. It's got to be, it's either...
That's my first choice.
Oh, well, no, it's my first choice, but as a boxing name, I just don't think
Oh, no, if you're predominantly fighting in a country in another language, you wear that in your native language. You're Big Dick Ace, and they got to call you that. Please welcome to the ring.
Stencil that on a doily.
Well, Rod, what do you...
Gargantuan.
Ironically, Rod... we got names for things. So, Pepino Cuevas had to be Pepe, like little buddy or whatever, right?
Jesse Carolla.
Yeah, I would say so. It's unlikely that, you know, although Mexicans are very literal nicknamers.
Mm-hmm.
I had a friend growing up who was called Ugly. You know, they just said Fail. That was his nickname.
All cultures are literal nicknamers.
Yeah, like, isn't there a TV show called El Gordo y la Flaca? Like the fat and the skinny?
Every time, every construction site I worked on, if there was a fat Mexican guy, the guy's son, it was a 14-year-old son, it was a chubby kid. It's like, hey, Gordo, over here, Gordo. Hey, Gordo. Oh, it's like, Gordo.
Is that short for Gordon?
The nicest one is the guy called his son Bota La Queso, which is ball of cheese. But that was a little bit interesting. But then I worked with a Filipino guy named Pogi. And I'm like, what's Pogi? Handsome? Did this call you handsome or fat? Be tough with those two next to each other.
Yeah,
but they don't dig deep like we do.
Not nuanced.
No, they're just, if you're handsome, they'll call you handsome. Yeah. If you're fat. If your dick's wide, they'll call you Pepino.
We have ironic nicknames. Like, you know, we'll call, you know, little guy, tiny. Big guy, hey, big fella. Yeah, exactly. The giant guy, call him tiny.
Yeah. Yeah, we don't do that. Once in a while, we'll do the cop out with, like, we'll just call everyone champ. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But that's really for the old black guy who sits in front of the gym.
Yeah.
Just everyone who walks in, they'll call the UPS guy
stretch.
Champ. Yeah. Yeah. Thanks, Rod.
No worries.
I appreciate it. Now, we got blah, blah, blog. Oh, and Theo's here. Maybe we should play blah, blah, blog with Theo. All right, let me just push through a couple of calls, and then we'll get Theo in here. Joel, 29, Chicago.
Hey, man, get it on.
Hey, man, I'm coming your way. I'll be there Saturday night.
Yeah, excited to see you. Getting my tickets right now.
Thanks. Park West there, buddy. Okay. Saturday night, Chicago. Come on out. Say hi. Go ahead.
There.
Yeah.
Just want to say hi to Bald and Gina. How you guys doing?
Hi. Hey, Joel.
Hey. I got a rich man, poor man.
All right. Let's hear it.
Waking up early to go to the country club. Obviously, mm-hmm. That's the rich man's thing.
Right.
And you only do that if you're the gardener or the caddy.
Yeah. Mm. That's not bad.
It's a bit specific, but you know what? I'm going to buy this one.
Yeah. It's solid. True.
Yeah.
Country clubs. Have you guys ever looked into like a real country club or a golf club?
Looked into a membership?
Yeah. Like not.
You got to pay like $50,000 to apply.
Yeah,
and then
if you're
it's
lucky.
Like, you know, $20,000 a year.
It's an insane thing. It's like, I don't know who. It's a weird thing.
Yeah.
I've looked into many, yes.
I've checked it out before just because I knew guys, not because I would do it myself.
The Corollas have a long, rich tradition of being members of country clubs.
You can see the oil renderings of my dad up there and his 70s
the
Irish suit.
Setter.
The Irish
don't
setter.
Break the lineage, be the first Corolla not to belong.
It's so weird. It's like, it's $100,000 or $200,000 and then it's $100,000 a year. Yeah. And then it's like, you got to be sponsored. It's like, it's weird.
You have to have three people in the club like sponsor you, recommend you or whatever.
I think you do it because it's really like the only place where you can like sort of walk around and just go, everyone here is rich. Mm-hmm. Like you have to be rich.
Yeah.
You just have to be willing to part with. It's kind of the
truly disposable income.
Truly.
Because you will not use that much money over the course of the year. You got to pay for the food. You got to show it's
what?
Not free.
What?
That was my inclusive? First reaction. You're like, I thought, you just show up anytime and have dinner. That's, I mean, if you can have a lot of dinners.
There's monthly minimums.
Yeah.
Like, you have to spend a certain amount each month or it just gets charged to your account. If you go out of town for a month, you just pay, I don't even know.
That
whatever.
Does it. No country club.
Julie, 48, upstate
Ace
New York.
Man.
What's going on?
Ace man, it is so good to talk to you. Shout out to Bald and Gina. Hey, listen, I know what the new sexy for men is. Men who organize and label their freezers. Dude, when you did that.
Oh, I did that, man.
You did that. Good time.
I did that
good
last
time.
Christmas. I went through my entire freezer with my entire house, pantry, everything. Lynette and the kids
wrote
were
dog on a fill.
Lynette and the kids went to Chicago, and I just took every single thing out of the fridge.
So
and it's hot. Yeah,
smart.
That
go
is
ahead.
Hot.
Yeah.
All right. So I'm going to fly on an airplane for the very first time in my life. 48 years old.
Mm-hmm.
That's a rich man, poor man.
Don't, especially to keep me from, you know, becoming involved in a viral video.
Mm. Uh-huh. Well, now, why first time in your life at age 48?
You know why? Because I've really just been working very fucking hard for the last 25 years. So this is the first vacation.
I've been coasting, so all
years.
I do is fly.
That's right.
Okay, where are you flying to?
Santa Cruz, California.
Oh, lovely.
Nice.
Yeah, nice. Great.
How close can you get to Santa Cruz? Dawson, San Jose?
San Francisco, San Jose.
Yeah.
Okay, good. And you're leaving, where are you leaving, JFK?
Out of Albany.
Albany, okay.
Yep, capital of New York.
Are you nervous?
A little, mostly, I've never done this before. I'm a little concerned about that. I'm more concerned about what I see on social media, what I've heard on your podcast about the way people act and the fact that I'm going to, accidentally shoot my mouth off and get in a fracas on the plane or,
yeah. Let's break this down. First things first, don't wear your Make America Great Again hat or anything.
Yeah. If you want to have a smooth flight.
Anything that would send, even if you have a t-shirt with, Beavis and Butthead or something on, don't wear anything that could even start a conversation with somebody. Don't talk to anybody. Just blue hoodie halfway zipped and a plain t-shirt underneath it. Like no eye contact, no nothing. Walk with purpose. Now, do you like a little, shot of booze to kind of take the edge off, to mellow you out a little bit?
I think I'm going to have to, because I thought about, smoking a little or dropping a little ganja butter beforehand, but don't paranoia is one of the worst symptoms.
Yeah.
You'll see gremlins on the wing.
Don't do that.
Not doing that. But I can take a few drinks. That will probably soften the blow of
red wine.
But take it easy. Don't spin out with the booze.
That's a big one.
A couple glasses of red wine over there at the Chili's before you take off, take the edge off, get on the plane.
How do you do that without having to go to the bathroom a lot on the plane? Just, keep yourself, do a few before you load, and then you just do one or two on to keep your buzz going.
Now, remember, they consider it an insult if you don't defecate in the aisle.
that's a local custom.
It's considered an insult. What airline are you flying?
Drop a duty. I don't know. I'd have to take a look at the tickets.
I like that. And what are you going to do in Santa Cruz?
Well, I've got a brother there and a sister who's going to fly in from Arizona. Wow. And the last time I was there was 1991, and I did a cross-country trip, drove out, and then took a train back.
It's very beautiful.
Are you going to see a Banana Slugs game?
I doubt it.
How's your brother? Well, you probably won't get the truth out of him, but family members who live on the East Coast and refuse to fly are sometimes a blessing.
He's the weird one because he's the one. He's the one who has never flown back east. He's been out there for 30 years. He's always taken a train back, and so therefore, when our mother was dying, he missed it because he was in the middle of the fucking country. He can do nothing quick, and he's the one paralyzed with some sort of weird fear. I don't necessarily have a fear. I've just been working very hard for years and poor and,
What's he doing in Santa Cruz?
He's a master carpenter.
Wow.
Ooh, now we're talking.
I love this guy.
Right up the Ace Man's Alley.
Yeah. All carpenters are weird, though. All right. So you're going to come out. You're going to see him.
Yep.
Is he married?
Well, that's part of the reason that I'm coming out. My beloved sister-in-law passed away in April. Oh. And instead of everybody, kind of descending on him and whatnot, we decided, let's kind of space it out a little bit. So he trained back in June to bury her ashes here and at her family's in New York. And then we decided, let's wait until fall, kind of give him a little space and time. So instead of, dies.
Are you staying with him?
I'm going to.
Okay, good.
So, and I'm going to let him do most of the driving because, it gets a little hairy out there, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
Santa Cruz.
One of the sleepiest areas in all of California.
You'll see.
Julie, do you feel like your mom and dad liked him more or liked you better?
Well, we're both kind of special. He's the eldest of the run, and I'm the youngest. I'm the baby. He was the very firstborn, and I'm the lastborn, of course. And we lost a couple kids in the middle. So I'm one of six.
Wow.
So there's seven of us together.
All right, Julie, have a couple shots, be mellow, and enjoy Santa Cruz. It's beautiful.
Lots of books on tape, lots of podcasts.
Yeah.
Yes.
Bring headphones.
Yeah.
It's amazing how many people have lost people. How many, the guys, thank you.
Barbara Streisand's worst songs.
People who've lost people.
Hey, talk to some guy, he's 50, and he's like, my wife passed a couple of years ago, and then you go, I'm 48, and then I'm the oldest, and then there's few in between, but we lost a few. It's like, when they were 39 or 37, or what were they? And like, whose wife is dying? She was 44. Like, it's not stuff. It's weird. I haven't experienced much of it, but it's out there. It's like, you listen to talk radio. Half the guys who call in at like 53 go, well, my wife passed last winter. And it's kind of like, what? How? I thought everyone just lived till 90 now. What's going on?
Having been exposed to some of the people I've been exposed to in the last few years, I'm amazed at the resilience of people who lose people at a youngish age, 30s, 40s, whatever, 50. And it's like, and a few years later, they're not whole again, but the resiliency is amazing to me. I'd be crushed, devastated.
A huge example of that, a famous example, is Patton Oswalt, who lost his dear wife, who he loved more than anything. And then a year-ish later, he found love again, and God bless him.
It's amazing to me.
We were, just standing at the McCarran Airport, just as it was yesterday, just talking to Patton and his wife before she died a few months later. Me and Mike August were just chatting him up, laughing it up in the airport. It seemed like anybody else hang around in the airport. And I've said it once, but it bears repeating. No child should have to bury a parent.
Wait, what?
Very brave of you.
Thank you.
Very brave of you.
All right. Life Lock, and then we'll bring in Theo Vaughn, who we love. Equifax. Oh, you hear about this? Recently announced a breach that could affect 143 million Americans. 200,000 credit card numbers were accessed, plus personal data, including Social Security numbers, for about 180,000 were accessed. Listen, let's not be a statistic, people. It's out there. They're trying to steal your good name and max out your credit cards, screw up your 401k. It's LifeLock, man. You need it. Detects a wide range of identity threats you may miss by just monitoring your credit. And it's 2017. Think about all that shopping you do online. Your info's out there. So if there is a problem, their U.S.-based identity restoration specialist will work to fix it, but there won't be because you got the best. You got LifeLock. Dawson.
No one can prevent all identity theft or monitor all transactions at all businesses, but LifeLock can help you see more threats to your identity. Go to LifeLock.com or call 1-800-LIFELOCK. Use promo code Adam. That's Adam for 10% off your LifeLock membership. Visit LifeLock.com and save 10% now.
All right. Theo Vaughn, one of our favorites, in studio next.
Hello, this is Coach Jim Harbaugh with my esteemed colleague and co-host JT Rogan. And we're excited to announce our new podcast, Attack Each Day, the Harbaugh's Podcast, that's coming to Podcast One.
Each week, we'll be talking to different members of the Harbaugh family, along with athletes, celebrities, and unique guests.
On different episodes, we'll have my dad, Jack, my brother, John, my sister, Joni, my wife, Sarah, and even my kids from time to time. We'll have great guests each week, and we'll attack each podcast with an enthusiasm unknown to mankind.
Sounds pretty good to me. So join us each Tuesday on Attack Each Day, the Harbaugh's Podcast, here on Podcast One. Also, make sure to subscribe on PodcastOne.com, on the new Podcast One app, or at Apple Podcasts. And Coach, who's got it better than us?
I know the answer to that, JT. Nobody.
Podcast One Sports Network presents
Good Sports.
Hi and hello, sports fans. Welcome to Podcast One Sports presentation of Good Sports. Dave Damashek here. Adam Carolla there. What's the poop, Ace Man? You ready to get rolling with today's checklist? You have to choose what item you want to talk about here.
All right.
Ready? So, go ahead there, Gary.
I'm ready.
So we've still got the fan conduct policy where we need to establish some rules for the fans on how to
yesterday,
conduct themselves.
Go back to and listen to yesterday we tackled some of our favorite
cliches.
Terrible sports cliches, and we'll keep going with those as the weeks progress here. Go ahead there,
absolutely,
Gary.
So we've got the fan conduct policy. We've also got some week three picks we could talk about. We can take some phone calls if you like, and Dennis Rodman is out there trying to fix the ills of the world. What
Ace.
Say you, Ace Man?
I would like to take some phone calls. Ooh. And I can see Paul up here from Minnesota. Paul, 43, Minnesota.
Hey, see you, Shaq.
What's happening?
How's that new stadium?
It looks pretty good on TV, but I can't afford to get in it.
Here it's quite grand. I'll be there, I hope, in February of 2018 to watch a Super Bowl.
Oh, that's well, makes sense, yeah. So, what's the question?
Well, I was wondering what you thought about that Adam Thielen for the Vikings there. Oh, he has a $500 scholarship to go to a little school, and now he ended up signing a $27 million contract with the Vikings.
I don't know enough about the local Viking scene to have strong thoughts about it, but it seems like a pretty good return on investment. Although, unless I'm missing something here, everybody in the NFL, you know, started off with nothing. That's why it's kind of fun. It's kind of fun when you go back and you know, Michael Irvin is talking about growing up in the shack with his seven brothers and sisters. Like, it's all a publisher's clearinghouse kind of sweepstakes thing, you know.
By the way, as far as that goes, and not to be cavalier about the hard-boiled roots that a lot of guys who wind up in pro sports came from, do we still need, in this day and age, you know how they say if everybody had superpowers, then nobody has superpowers?
Mm-hmm.
If everybody came from hard-boiled roots, does every pregame show have to focus on the tough beginning? What you see now before you is a superstar living the high life. But
right.
Growing up, it was a different story. Like, it's the same story over and over again. Who signed off on the idea that that's what whets the appetite for the sports fan in the run-up to the big game? Can't we just hear about, like, who's going to win the game and so on?
Well, in the realm of superpowers, if everyone had superpowers and no one had superpowers, riddle me this, Paul, you're old enough. Shaq, you're old enough. When I was a kid, the hypothetical question was, would you rather be able to fly or be invisible?
Mm.
And the only upside to being invisible for a 15-year-old was going into the girls' locker room. That was really some people thought about robbing banks and things like that, but being invisible doesn't get you into a bank vault, and it could possibly get you locked into a bank vault if you don't play your cards right. And then also, no matter how out of it the bank manager was, picking up sacks of money and walking them out of the bank as they just levitated in midair is probably going to cause somebody to intervene.
You could make a case that the money floating out on its own would be more eye-catching than someone just carrying a bag with money in it.
I would say that if I was at a bank and I was managing a bank and I saw just the big S with the two lines going through it, the big canvas satchel, and it was just at about waist high going through the bank, I would tend to take more notice of that than somebody who bought a guard uniform.
Where do they sell those, by
out.
The way? Where do they sell those satchels with the money sign on them? Where does every bank come up with those?
I don't know, but it'd make a great designer hipster purse now.
And do those only exist in movie banks, or do real banks have the money sign on the things to help the thieves?
I think in movie and comic books. But here's my question to you, Shaq.
Yes.
And Paul, who's old enough. When I was when I was in junior high or high school and that question would be posed, it was a coin toss. It was about a 50-50. The idea of flying was pretty damn cool, but the idea of hanging out in the girls' locker room, you know, Porky style, seemed pretty cool as well. Now that there's YouPorn, and every kid just has a smartphone and literally is transported into every girl's locker room except for they're having X-rated sex,
being invisible doesn't really hold much anymore. Like, the notion, and if you're going to rob a bank, you're going to do it, you know, you're going to steal someone's identity, you're going to do bank, you're going to do it online, you're going to hack into a system, you're going to transfer, you're going to have Snowden, you know, transfer it into some offshore account. Like, being invisible, and we're all prima donnas now. Nobody wants to be invisible. Everyone's bedazzled their phone case and everything. Everyone's making an attempt not to be invisible. I bet you that you talk to your average 15-year-old boy in the 70s and 80s, it was pretty much 50-50. It's got to be 95-5 now, because I don't even know why. Like, my son would be like, why? No, being invisible, I could get hit by a car. Why would I want to do that?
That's a great point.
With the
right.
advent of free porn, abundant free porn, I think the be invisible thing is off the table for most 15-year-olds now.
That has got to be the worst superpower now that you mention it, yeah. But then again, no one ever addresses how fast you can fly. Like, what if you can only fly as fast as a butterfly? That would kind of undermine the quality of being able to fly.
Yeah, but
no one ever says, like, that you can fly as fast as a Concorde, you know?
No, it's only, the only advantage I could see these days would be shitting on neighbors' windshields of their cars. You know what I mean? And having them try to explain what happened. That's it.
Paul, what's your question? You have a comment about non-sports that were, I guess it's sort of an event if you watch the when the loggers do their thing. I'd like to see you compete in that, by the way.
I would be good at the log rolling competition.
Mm-hmm.
The one I love, they should just call those games the tetanus games, because it's like they're trying to they do a move where it's like anyone from OSHA would be very upset they saw. The part I like is the part where they go, what do? Well, there's this spruce stump that comes up about 8 feet. How's it work? You take an axe, you take 3 or 4 chops at it, and you cut a wedge into it. Then you plant the 2x6 board into that. Then you jump up on top of that board, you get the axe out again, and you start swinging away. Like, really? You don't think there's many things I feel that could go wrong.
That is really, it kind of is, they should just call it the man games, because it is kind of like, every one of those is an exercise in whether or not you're an act. Like what you always talk about is fellas in the 20th and 21st centuries aren't men at all. That really does expose it. If you can't do any of those things, and I'm trying to think if I would be able to succeed in any of those. The one that looks the most fun is the log run thing.
I like the log rolling one where you try to roll the other guy off. But best,
that's what you mean by log roll.
Log rolling
on the ground.
The best, that I'd be good at and be fine with that. The best is when they get the dogs involved. When they do the Labrador peer jump. Mm-hmm. When the dog gets chugging down and the lesbian throws the stuffed duck at the thing, I'm guessing, and the thing just goes, launches itself.
Yeah.
I think it's like 19 or 20 feet. Although, when you watch that, you'll get angry at your dog. You'll go, look at that piece of shit. Look at it. What are you doing, laying in the kitchen again? Look at that dog.
Get in here and watch this. Where's your sense of aspiration, pup?
That's right. All right.
Yeah,
thanks, Paul. Yes.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, last week I set out the table saw with the saw stop on it.
Mm-hmm.
And up the ante about putting your balls in there, try it with a 3/4-inch dado set in there.
Oh, yeah, I'm going to have to explain to Sheck and Gary
and
everyone listening what a dado set is. There's a thing called a saw stop.
Mm.
And the way is when you fire up a table saw and that thing starts humming and you have the blade all the way up, it looks like a death machine. And if someone said to you, I dare you just to slide your finger in until you touched a blade, you'd say, no, never, not for $1 million. There's a thing that if the thing touches your finger, it stops.
How would it know that?
There's an electro whatever current where it senses, and they do the test with a hot dog, and it literally puts just a very small nick at the end of the hot dog. And I said, how much put your ball sack in there? Because it wouldn't take it off. It would freak you out, and of course it would nick it. The dado setup, what he's talking about, is when you, instead of one single blade that's about 1/8 of an inch wide, you stack multiple blades and you make them about three-quarter wide so that you can push material through and you set the height of it just at like a half inch so you can make a groove.
Yeah, I know what you mean by that. Yeah.
And then when you put your shelving together, you drop the thing into the dado. That's the dado.
But I can't believe, so saws now can detect the difference between between wood and flesh?
Your head will explode.
There's a weird irony
your
in that,
head,
too.
Your wood, head will explode as you watch wieners. As you watch a wiener.
What? I would not, just because you can put a wiener in there doesn't mean I would put my wiener in there.
Well,
let's split the difference
the head,
and put
mid-shaft.
Let's
mid-shaft.
Put Ray's wiener in there.
All right. That's right.
That's a good. That's too much. See, I'm looking at the cut now on the little ad that they're playing for us, and that's too much nick on my wiener. I don't
All
want
right.
that.
That's too much. Look, any nick on your wiener is too much nick on your wiener, but mm-hmm. how about for $1 million? Or how about for $100,000 cash?
$1 million to get to have nick on my wiener.
Yeah. All right, let's bring it home.
Not Nick Foles. See, I brought it back to sports. You get it, everybody? Former quarterback of the Philadelphia Eagles. That's a wrap on Good Sports, presented by Podcast One Sports for today. Good Sports.
It's time to check Adam's voicemail.
Hey, Adam, quick question for you. Watching Hulu, got stuck on stupid Hyundai ad, played the song Sweet Caroline. My buddy and I are debating whether or not it's a Tool tune. I say no, because it's fucking awesome, and you would not roll the window up in shame. He says, maybe so, because dude on the commercial rolls it up out of fear with the brown guys. Whatever, man, let us know. Tool tune or not. Please. Thank you.
You can leave us a message at 888-634-1744.
No, not a Tool tune. Hard to be a Tool tune if it were composed and executed like in the 60s or early 70s. It's tough.
Why?
It's more of an 80s, yeah. 90s vibe. I don't know why, but it's difficult. There's probably something. Also, I was in Mr. Inocencio's beginning band at Walter Reed Junior High, and we would learn songs. Hi, Theo Von.
Hi.
We would learn songs like, we'd play these songs that nobody wanted to play. Like, all right, everybody, we're going to turn to page three. We're doing Grand Old Flag, you know. You're a grand old flag. You're a high. And it's like, there's nothing more boring for any 13 or 14-year-old who's trying to learn the trumpet than learn these stupid songs. And all of a sudden, it was the word went down that we're going to get to do Sweet Caroline. And I was like, oh,
a
this is going to be.
Current song?
This is going to be, hey, when you're doing Grand Old Flag.
That's what I'm saying.
Way more modern.
Yeah. And so it was exciting. And then I remember the trumpet part was, you'd go, bump, bump. And then you put the trumpet down on your hip for about 20 minutes and you go bump, bump, and you put the trumpet on and you realize you're not playing the song, you're just filling
you're
in little bits and pieces of it. Yeah.
Yeah, you're limited. Is it hard not to zone off during those times when you're not playing?
That's why you got to sit at the end of the trumpet section. You can't be in the first seat. You always have to have someone to look for.
Right.
See what I mean? Like there's always like when I do car racing, always make sure there's a lot of people ahead of me so I can tell what they're doing. So when the flags start coming out and they start waving people like off the track, like where to get off the track and where to go and how to get over there and what the flags are doing.
Yeah.
Always keep a lot of competitors in front of me. Yeah.
Good call.
So Theo, by the way, podcast this past weekend is Theo's new one, you know, allegedly, of course, his old one. We're talking off the air about prostitution.
Yeah.
And I know you're kind of an open book. You say you know a prostitute.
Yeah, I've been around some. The last one I spent any time with, and I usually would have them, when I would end up with them, it would be in group settings.
Uh-huh.
And the last one I was around, I gave $150 to. She had a huge mole, you know. Mm-hmm. A mole that was, that knew things.
Pulsing.
Oh, really?
Where on her body?
A mole that a sorcerer would really tap into.
It would start to pulsate, and you would get the information she was trying to send.
And it had the
you.
Red ring around the bottom, like Saturn, kind of. And I gave her $150 to see a dermatologist friend of mine.
Oh, mm-hmm. Nice. Where was it on her?
It was around like her side a little bit. It seemed like a real deposit of something. I don't know what she'd been doing.
Uh-huh. God. She get taken care of?
I don't know. I didn't keep in touch with
her. He said, meet the doctor at midnight in the alley behind his practice.
But she said, though, Adam, to kind of get back to what we're talking about, she had said that a lot of the market share was declining, you know, because prostitution, you're out there slanging that canal for these ladies. That's a tough business. Mm-hmm. And she said a lot of men now are gay, or a lot of men are doing homosexual activities.
Uh-huh.
And that that is more of a preference, and they can't compete with that.
Is what they told the chick with the giant mole.
What?
I'm gay. I can't.
That's a good point.
What percentage of men are hooking up with other dudes but staying in a heterosexual relationship with, like, the kids and everything?
Yeah, it's a thing, right?
I don't know if it's a thing.
I didn't mean to. Did we all, I didn't mean to ask you specifically.
I had a friend whose dad was clearly gay.
Yeah.
And when we kind of knew it. Like, it was sort of understood that that's who he was, and he was staying with everybody, and he worked, and he kind of kept up appearance. He was a business guy. Right. He was like a successful business guy, but he was a high-ranking, like, insurance guy, and he sort of kept it together, like, for the family.
Yes. Looking back on my childhood, there were a minimum of three dads in amongst our group of friends who were gay, and they had families and kids, but they were gay men.
Yeah. They used to meet behind the Shoney's in our town.
And married to women, you know, and had kids.
A lot of the men would meet up behind the Shoney's.
What's the Shoney's?
This restaurant, it was like a buffet, and they had this little bear that was like their mascot.
Shoney's mm-hmm. awesome.
Oh, really?
So kind of like a Chuck E. Cheese?
It wasn't that great.
Oh, I loved Shoney's.
You did?
Yeah. Kind of like a Perk. I thought it was a fancy Denny's when we were a kid.
So you're saying the prostitution game is, and it also, is it all the apps that are screwing it up too? I mean, all the people Tinder's just hooking up, just willy nilly, not charging.
Point. I didn't ask her that.
So she's basically a taxi cab, and these guys are Uber now, and folks are kind of getting in between. And also, I wonder, you know, in this,
she's got her license with the city, and she's not making any money.
Yeah, well, there's this kind of new world order that we're not doing a lot of judging. People are, you know, it's kind of Airbnb-ing their vagina.
Yeah, that's a good
Airbnb.
Point.
Yeah. Airbnb. Like, you basically just going, look, I'd like to get paid. I don't mind having sex. No one's judging. You know, maybe I'm not in a relationship. I'm 26. Same way I'd use my car, like, on a weekend to make a couple extra bucks, even if I had a job. Or I could choose to or not choose to. Or
get your side hustle on.
Yeah. The ultimate side hustle.
Airbnb.
Maybe it's that way.
And they did. I used to, and I would use that on a little, I would even ask a woman, if, can I use your vagina? You're not using it right now.
That's a good line.
It's not a bad line. I think it's very practical. But I can't imagine, that's an old art out there selling, you know, getting out there and, you know, and just getting into dark arts down there in the middle of the night. And I think that's a, you know, I'd go undercover almost kind of with a strap on vagina sometime to maybe see what these women go through.
Yeah. Yeah. That's
because
that'll
fool
doing the Lord's mark. Yeah. Like that time Eddie Murphy was white.
You could
find out what's going on out there. My favorite, it was Hookers on the Point, right?
Yes. That show? Yes.
Fantastic. So many things I loved about that show, but my favorite part was always when the guys would haggle, because I don't know how to haggle. It's like, it's not part of my culture. You just tell me what the price is, and I'll go, I'll either do it or I won't, but I don't do the, but the haggling in the sex department is kind of, it's a little bit insulting, because if you think about it, because I've sold enough used pickup trucks to have guys go, come on, 3,000, look at it. Are you kidding me?
It's all banged up.
Are you kidding me? Yeah. No way. So it is kind of suggesting that the product isn't great. But I swear to God, I saw Hookers on the Point where the guy's like, how much for a blowjob? She's like, $20. $20. You got to do better than that. It's like, $20. I give everyone $20. Like, if I'm at an ATM, whoever's behind me gets $20. They get the first 20. I'll turn around and give 20.
And they don't have to do anything.
Strippers, bellhops, like, everyone gets $20. Like, he's trying to get a blowjob in a Nissan Pathfinder, and he's like, $20? And he was insulted. It's like, oh, bad enough. Come on. Now you think I'm King Midas, baby? Like, we got to do better than that. Like,
yeah, what about you? Look, what do you have in the $9 bag? Let me see what you got.
Also, maybe we can start talking bulk. Like, you know, if I, like personal trainers will do. Like, if you do more in 10 sessions, I'll give you a break.
Right, yeah. Around the world.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can I punch you, punch my card?
Punch my card.
Yeah, it's heavy, man. I mean, it's just... It's got to be a wild area there.
I just reminded, I have
two things that people remember me for being an asshole, even though I'm doing it. When I used to work at Kimmel's, there was a coffee bean and tea leaf that was like up the street. And after lunch, I would take the riders. We'd all walk over there. And I'd go like six guys, I'd buy everyone a coffee or something like that. And at one point, the woman behind the counter said, do you want me to punch your cards? Because you buy like 10 coffees and you get one coffee free. And I said, no, I don't want that. Because I have this theory, which is you start going down that path, and the next thing you know, you got the Ralph's Club thing hanging from your keychain.
Next thing you know, you're saving money, and you got free coffees.
No, then you're in save mode, sure. Not save a nickel mode, make a buck mode. I always want to be in that mode. So she said, I said, no, thanks. And one of the writers, I think it was John Bynes or Tony Barbieri behind me, said, I got a card. Can you stamp that? She said, sure. And I said, no, don't do it.
Wow.
And she said, but he wants his stamp. I said, yeah, but it's my
choice.
I'm paying, and I say no.
And did he feel something?
Don't care.
Yeah.
They didn't get it stamped. And the other one is I'll take you out to dinner, and I'll take your prostitute friend, lady friend with you and whatever, and you can eat and order three desserts, but when the doggy bag comes home, it's coming to my house.
Right.
You finish, you get halfway into that pork chop, that's fine. It's coming home with me.
Yeah.
Didn't Teresa Strasser famously give you her bag because she was terrified and thought you were serious?
I was terrified the next day. Lynette and I took Teresa and her Daniel, her husband or fiance or whatever, out to dinner, like because they're getting engaged or something. And she ordered a pork chop and Lynette ordered a pork chop. And then when they were like wrapping it up, I said,
you declared,
listen, you know, if the food's coming home, it's coming home with me because I'm paying. And that kind of prevents people from over ordering. But look, you get a free meal. And by the way, if you're not, keep eating by all means, but whatever's coming home's coming to my house.
That's my stuff.
And everyone just kind of looked at me, and like I think Lynette does what she always does. Like, oh, please shut up, leave him alone, you know, whatever. And then the next day, I was like heating up a pork chop in my refrigerator. Maybe I had a little too much to drink. I may have been overserved that night. And I said to like Lynette, hey, I'm eating your pork chop, so I hope you don't mind. She said, I already ate my pork chop. And I said, well, you couldn't have because I got it right here. And then I realized we took home two pork chops. Yeah. And yes, Teresa was terrified. Handed Lynette over the pork chop.
And do you feel weird? You're just whatever. I'm eating the pork chop. I don't care whose it was.
At that point, I didn't care, but I was more horrified that she thought that was an actual hard policy of mine, and that's the way I rolled when I took people out to celebrate their engagement. All right, so you want to play a little blah, 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 Theovon?
Yeah, let's get that.
I love that. Let's do it.
It's time for Blah, Blah, Blog. The game where we match the celebrity with their retarded online rant. Let's play.
Brought by parents. These children had no choice in coming here. Now they'll be sent to countries they've never known. Cruel. Not America. Is it Barack Obama, Joe Biden, or Kamala Harris?
Ooh.
Hmm.
Kamala is someone's name?
Yeah.
It's Kamala.
Yeah.
Kamala. Kamala.
Kamala was a wrestler.
She was.
That's
right.
Yeah. There's also the fabulous Moolah, right?
Yeah, maybe that's who it was.
But Kamala was a dude, and he's like from Africa. His whole gig was he was like an African, like from the deep, dark jungles.
Yeah.
Yeah, by way of Ohio. But yeah.
He wore like tribal paints.
It was simpler times, man. All right. Let's see. So now...
WWF was delightfully racist.
Yeah.
Delightfully.
Kamala. All right. She's going to be looking for some... Well, Biden's going to be looking for some votes coming up. These two could run for president, yeah. Right?
Really?
Yeah. So I'm going to...
Or...
And that's just,
yeah.
Is he knocking out Hulk?
Trump. It looks like Trump's hair.
Taking a dive.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It does look like Trump's hair.
Yeah, he's...
look at his manager
in
the
back.
The guy who found him in the jungle. That's is his that manager. Guy.
This is really horrifying.
What about that guy who was Pizza Pizza? Who was that politician? That guy was awesome.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Pizza. Remember that he did Little Caesars? Who was that guy?
The Little Caesars politician?
Yeah.
I don't know.
No. You're not Little Caesars.
Oh, Ben Carson?
Black guy.
Well, yeah, but black guy had a pizza
not
franchise.
Ben Carson.
That guy was awesome.
Yeah.
Oh.
And he touched a woman's crotch, allegedly?
Yeah, I know. He had a pizza franchise.
Yes.
Yeah. You're not talking about Sambo's. That's different.
No,
Sambo's is
another Midwestern place.
Yes, they used to have him out here. Yeah. All right, wait, the pizza guy. I don't know what the pizza guy is. What did he do?
Herman Cain.
Oh, Herman Cain.
Boy.
All right.
I love Herman Cain.
All right. I'm going to say it's Joe Biden.
Yeah, no way it's Obama. There would have been much bigger news. Kamala Harris.
Yeah, I don't think Obama's been getting that involved with those types of tweets. I'm going to say Biden as well.
And I'm going to go, it's about children. I'm going to go with the lady. I think it's Kamala Harris.
The blog belongs to Joe Biden.
Yeah, Uncle Joe.
By the way, all of these have to do with DACA.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm. Mr. President, you need Jesus. I pray that God has a conversation with you because you really need a good talking to. I support dreamers. Hashtag take dad. Is it P. Diddy, Chance the Rapper, or 50 Cent?
Gotta be Jesus. Tough here. Chance the Rapper. Mm-hmm. Let's see. Is there another Chance out there that, you know, is like an arborist or something that we're going to get Chance the Rapper confused with?
Bad news, Chance. The name Chance is already trademarked. There's a pretty famous arborist. He works on trees. You probably heard of him. I'm surprised you got this far just going by Chance.
I hope Chance the Rapper and Cedric the Entertainer get stuck in the same elevator to really discuss. And then Common enters, because that is the worst rap name ever. Fair to Midland is a better rap name than Common.
Oh, hey, Common, this is my friend Chance the Rapper. He, you never guess what he does.
Oh, hold on. Cedric, don't weigh in. Cedric the Entertainer. Okay, so is it, now you can't say 50 Cent, right? You got to say 50 Cent, 50, right?
Yep.
All right.
P. Diddy and 50.
Yeah, so P. Diddy and Titty and Chance. Oh, boy. Okay, they're working a lot of God in.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like Fitty kind of, I don't know, stays to the sideline a little bit here.
Yeah. I don't know how religious Fitty is. Yeah. I know P. Diddy used to wear the big, you know, crosses and stuff.
This is one of the many, many reasons I'd like to be black. Because if you're black, you can turn that religion on and turn it off, and it doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter.
Like, nobody ever... you can't do it. Like, Michael Moore doesn't get to go, hey, I'm a Christian or whatever, and then stab somebody the next day and then be like a Christian and have people back off because they... Whatever. It's a thing.
Yeah.
White people don't have that luxury. You can pretty much commit, and you can go down that road if you want to go down that road, or you can go kind of Bill Maher, but you don't get to just pull it out... You don't get to, like, sing about backhanding bitches and then just go, I'm a committed Christian. Like, we won't let you do that. Black folk, we give them a little leeway when it comes to that.
They
you can kind of do what you want and be very devout.
They get it all.
Yeah, they get it all.
Black people can be anything right now.
That's right.
This is the black oyster
Never been a better time.
Make America great.
Never been a better time.
I would be black now.
All right.
If they had a dip somewhere, would you take that?
Oh, dip, yeah.
Oh, you mean like
Robert Downey Jr.
Like Soul Man.
Yeah. I see.
If they had a dip in the last 4 to 6 months?
I think it's, I think it's a good time. Mm-hmm. I think I might turn in some of my white privilege and go black. All right. So, now what do we think? Go ahead, Brian.
Chance the Rapper. Chance the Rapper.
Chance the Rapper.
I'm going Fitty.
I'm going Fitty. No, wait. I'm going P.
You're going Diddy.
I'm going Diddy, not Fitty.
I'll go Diddy as well.
The blog belongs to P. Diddy.
Yes! Never been a better time.
Yeah.
Trump has no clue what he's doing with North Korea, with DACA, with any American values. He needs to be replaced with someone who does.
Trump.
Is it
Donald Trump Jr.?
I bet he said it.
Eric.
Is it Chelsea Handler? Kerry Washington? Or Christina Aguilera?
Oh, boy.
Wow.
I immediately have a feeling about this.
Mm-hmm. Now, let's try to figure this out. It doesn't...
And look what she's wearing.
Kerry Washington.
She's doing the dress.
She's doing the dress. Yeah. All right. It's scary because we used to live in a time when comedians would say funny things, and so you'd go, well, that's not funny. Mm-hmm. It can't be Chelsea because Chelsea's a comedian. She would have made it funny. But those days are gone, right?
Yeah, you don't have to do that anymore.
Right, so we don't have to do that anymore. I never hear Christina Aguilera pipe up. I didn't know she had an opinion. It seems a little pedestrian for Kerry Washington, right? Like, just, we got to replace him and get someone who knows what they're doing. Mm-hmm. Like, it's a little blankety.
Yes.
Like,
yeah. It couldn't have been by anybody. Or said by anybody. Uttered by anybody.
It seems pedestrian for Chelsea, too, almost a little bit, then.
It seems like he's no good, so he doesn't know what he's doing, so we need somebody else. It doesn't feel creative or interesting, or we're not picking an angle or anything, so I'm going to go Christina on this.
I'm going to say a late-night drunken tweet by Chelsea Handler.
Oh.
Interesting.
Ooh, there's booze. That's right.
I immediately thought it was Kerry Washington.
Ooh. I'm going to stay urban as well. I'm going to go with Kerry Washington.
Smart. The blog belongs to Chelsea Handler.
I did not see that coming.
And 50 banged her. Didn't 50 used to make love to her? Is that true? 50 Cent.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Mm-hmm. That's amazing.
So that I'd watch, huh?
So,
Ace, you got two. Everyone else has one.
You think he gets violent in there with the sex sometimes, with between the, you know, cross cultural sex kind of?
Mm-hmm.
Different ethnicity?
I think she's probably the aggressor.
You think?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd like to see that. That's got to be booze related, right? Like, that's too.
Explains a lot.
It's just sort of, like, there's not nothing.
Yeah. Like, I better tweet something about this, but I ran out of steam.
It's also not a complete sentence.
Okay.
Yeah, it's booze then.
All right.
This administration is not representing American values. They're failing us, and our forefathers would be ashamed.
What forefathers,
dude? Is it Deborah Messing, Kristen Bell, or Kerry Washington?
Ooh, he's back.
Wow.
The rare double dip.
Oh, boy. Deborah Messing.
I don't want it to be Kristen Bell because I love Kristen.
Mm-hmm. I'm a big Veronica Mars fan myself, so I don't want it to be her either. Kerry, I met backstage after seeing David Alan Greer on Broadway. She wasn't even Kerry Washington. She was in the play.
And a girl named Kerry Washington.
Well, it's weird when you meet people before they... You know, it's like, hey, there's this super pretty black chick who says she's a big fan of mine. Like, I don't know where, I don't know, love line. I don't know what her thing was, but she was very sweet, and that's how David described her.
You should go first because you're in the lead.
Okay. This is our forefathers, our founding fathers. I'm always forget. Does four mean like before us, or there were just four of them?
Just the four.
I got to see how it's spelled.
There could be four, but it means before us.
Okay.
Yeah,
now,
long time ago.
All right. It's tough. Everybody is so down with this.
Anybody could say it. It's so boring.
Well, it's a kind of a competition to see who can be more down with the cause.
Right.
Which is weird.
More woke.
Yeah.
But it's woker. It's kind of the opposite of creativity.
Yes.
Like, I feel like sometimes people say, like, how come we don't do more bashing on Trump? And because I've said, that's all everyone does all the time. Like,
it's hack
you
now.
Can't. Well, there's no award show that doesn't do it. Like, there's no late night show. There's no anything.
It's not creative.
So I'd rather talk about why we have push and pull on the same door and how to prevent it.
The stuff that matters.
Yeah, the big issues. Yeah.
I'm going to say, I hope it's Deborah Messing. But now, wait a minute, this Kerry Washington thing, you got to watch out for Lynch. He's sneaky, you know? He's almost like a Jew that way.
Could be an undercover Jay, bro.
Could be. Kick his tires next time I see him. Get some answers. Apply him with some Manischewitz. All right. Oh, this was Dylan.
Oh.
Well, he's in the tribe, right?
Plot thickens.
Sure. Oh, man.
Mm. Wait, Dylan's Jewish?
All right. Damn it. I want it to be Deborah Messing, but the Kerry Washington times two thing is interesting to me. Deborah Messing.
Oh, so be you, Kerry Washington. There's no way it's Kerry Washington. Forefathers kind of aligns with founding fathers, and those are slave owners, so he's not aligning with them. So I'm going Kristen Bell.
I know this doesn't help me at all, but I 100% believe it's Deborah Messing. I just want to be right.
Okay. I love Deborah Messing's hair. She has beautiful hair, man. I would love hair like that if I was a child. Mm-hmm. And they had a kid in our school that had some disease that I remember had beautiful hair like that. But then this girl on the right, Washington, that's a forefather name. So she probably could be related to George Washington.
Interesting.
Great story.
Interesting.
So thank you. And I'm thinking that that's what happened. I'm thinking this, these cherry tree choppers right there on the right. Beautiful, that dark horse in the beautiful dress.
So you're on Kerry Washington.
I'm on Kerry Washington.
All right.
Dark horse.
The little cinnamon hood ornament. Who is it?
Mm-hmm. The blog belongs to Kristen Bell.
Oh! Damn it.
Down. Get ourselves a showdown.
Fascinating.
All right, so now it's a tiebreaker between me and Brian.
We have one more and then a tiebreaker if we need it.
But what are people talking about the forefathers? The forefathers, they were crazy, weren't they?
I don't know. We're kind of in a weird, part of history where we're simultaneously sort of propping up our forefathers.
Do we hate or love them?
And we're explaining that.
Ask Lin-Manuel Miranda.
Well, it's sort of like Christopher Columbus. No, he was a pedophile alcoholic who enslaved indigenous people. Like, oh, okay. But then this other guy was, but the forefathers were, you know, slave owning. They're strung out on morphine and they're addicted to slaves. And on the other hand is they would never stop weeping if they could see what we're doing to their beloved experiment.
Stretch
the
greatest constitutionalist.
Experiment. So I don't, we're tearing down statues and building up forefathers, like sort of all kind of simultaneously. Yeah. All right. I know everyone's different. What I'm saying is everybody essentially, whether it's sports or society, sort of you have to be judged by the era you played in.
Right.
And whatever the technology they had, whatever the moral code they had, you kind of have to be judged against the time that you're living in. That's kind of the only fair way to do it. And then they're villains and heroes within that time period. Mm-hmm. But we can't just go, everybody who did this, you know, everyone who didn't recognize gay marriage, turn of the century, is we got to tear down their statue because this is what people did. Look, you don't call people Negro now, but people called people Negro back then. And we can't go back and tear their tongues out or desecrate their monuments. That's everyone said colored or Negro, or you figure it out, whatever it was.
Pretty boy, even.
That's what it was. So
some gay men said pretty boy and had nicknames for their slaves and indentured servants. And you can read about that, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, wow.
Peacock, they called some of them.
Oh, really? There's a theme emerging here, Theo. But yeah, let's continue.
Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you.
All right. One more. Sorry.
Those who can must take a dreamer into their home and protect them. I'm ready to do this, and others in my business will do the same. Sanctuary.
Wow. That's
I know powerful. Who this was.
I'm going to get a dream catcher and hang it up on my ceiling just in case one of those dreamers wanders in.
I read this cunt down, to be honest with you.
Wow. So it's a lady.
Sorry. Sorry.
We're going to have to just move on to the tiebreaker.
He's recusing himself.
Two of the choices are males.
Well,
they are.
That's John Legend, Pitbull, or Cher.
Oh, so you're saying it's Cher.
I know the evidence so far points to Cher.
I don't know. Dude, that Pitbull picture just alone makes me want to pick him now. He looks more like a hairless cat than a Pitbull in this one.
Pitbull.
Not a fan.
I'll go
Pitbull's
first.
Out because whoever wrote it said, in my business. No one knows what business Pitbull's in.
That's true. It's a good point.
He looks like a used blanket dealer. That guy looks like a guy who's freaking training lice, bro, at his house. I'm out.
All right, you want to go first, Theo Von?
Wait a minute. And I'm sorry about the see you next Tuesday word that I used, but Cher. I'm gonna say Miss Cher.
Mm-hmm.
I'm inclined to say Cher.
Sounds pretty Cher to me.
I'm going Cher.
The blog belongs to Cher.
Oh wow! Congrats, everybody.
All right, now Brian and I.
Yeah. Okay. Hard earned first place tiebreaker.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
Jeff Sessions says, we are people of compassion. While announcing the end of DACA, the American people are, sir. You and your boss are not. Is it George Takei or Mia Farrow?
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, one of the best ways, you know, when you try to, everyone's like, oh, man, is it Leah Remini? The best way for everything, I always called him George Takei. I thought his name was Takei. I think everyone thought his name was Takei. Yeah. And one day, Kimmel sent me Takei. And I went, Takei? And he went, as in gay. And I went, never called him anything but Takei.
Ooh.
after that. Just easy. Said something, clicked, made sense. Easy association. Yep. Done. I could have never done that if I didn't have some association. And that this thing where you like try to tell people, it's not Leia, it's Leah. Uh-huh. It'll never work. All it does is make you hit a little hiccup and a speed bump, and then
you
panic and do the wrong one.
Right.
You panic and do the wrong one. I don't know why we have that wiring where you'll be 100% wrong when somebody corrects you on your name and you go, I got it. And then you have to say it again. Brief moment of panic. It's like you're going down the highway at 70 miles an hour. Is this our off ramp? Is this the airport? Brief moment of panic and then wrong ramp. Yeah. That's how we're wired as human beings. Yep. It's kind of scary, right?
Yes, it is.
In a weird way. Maybe the greats, like the great ball players, the great pilots, you know, the great daredevils, maybe they don't have that weird wrong ramp, turn that thing where you go, which ramp? And you just, wrong one.
Yeah.
And we're all other wired that way, but the great center fielders don't have that. Seventh game, World Series, ball into the night air.
And no just, hesitation.
No,
Gene.
Just right under it.
Yep. Yeah.
All right. So,
that's interesting. That's true.
George Takei. Mia Farrow. Okay.
She's like Rocky Dennis. Very Rocky Dennis in that Mia Farrow.
Oh,
Farrah
my
shot.
God. You're right. Wow. She has a Stoltz thing going.
Not a compliment.
All right.
I love Rocky
Brian,
Dennis.
I'll let you go first.
I feel like it's Takei. The whole sir, when he called him sir, that's a very George Takei way of saying it, I think.
Okay. I'm going with Rocky.
The blog belongs to George Takei.
Thank you for letting me have that one.
You know what? I just let you go so you can say that, but I would have just flipped a coin anyway. So not giving it away.
Until next time, keep your fingers on your keyboards and your heads up your asses so we can play another round of Blah, Blah, Blah.
Everybody's got their head in their ass.
All right, let's get some news ready.
All right.
And I'll tell you, let's do a story. Let's start the news.
All right, sure.
All right, I'll buy you a second. Okay. How about this? True Car, man. Shopping for a car, make sure you get real pricing on actual inventory. People configure cars online only to find out they're not available. Let's go with True Car. Real pricing on actual inventory. Not pricing offered by True Car, but pricing from an actual True Car certified dealer. Over 3 million cars have been sold by over 13,000 TrueCar certified dealers nationwide. TrueCar users save an average of $3,000 off of MSRP, and when you're ready to buy, well, you can do no better than TrueCar. So just visit TrueCar, see what other people are paying for the exact same car, apples to apples, find out new, used, lock in your price, get your certificate, and then pick up your TrueCar at the certified dealer. It is the best. It is True Car. All right, Gina Grad.
Let's do it.
Give me the news with Grad. News with Gina Grad. Breaking viral. All those crazy Trump tweets. Give me news with Gina Grad. Trouble in the Middle East. Celebrity drunk meltdowns. Need news with Gina Grad.
The news with Gina Grad.
Well, it was a big night for women at the 69th Annual Emmy Awards Sunday night. Big Little Lies led with 5 wins, while the feminist dystopia The Handmaid's Tale took home 4 Emmys, including Best Drama Series and Best Actress for Elizabeth Moss. 2 other women made history. Veep star Julia Louis-Dreyfus was named Best Comedy Actress for a 6th year in a row. That's a new record. That's the most Emmys won by a single performer for one role ever. And Lena Waithe from Master of None, she became the first African-American woman to win for comedy writing. Meanwhile, Donald Glover also made history as the first African-American to win for Best Comedy Director and picked up the award for Best Comedy Actor. But when it came to the talk show category, John Oliver once again came out on top. And last week's Tonight's win spawned a bit of a bit between Jimmy Kimmel and Stephen Colbert. Here they are sipping cocktails in the aisle of the audience in between awards.
I were just drawing a couple of cocktails.
No particular reason.
I'm drinking a specialty cocktail they're offering tonight. It's called The Last Week Tonight.
I got the same thing.
Yeah.
It's a dry British cocktail.
Yes, it's really good. It's so high quality. Apparently, they can only make one a week.
That was funny.
Mine has extra bitters in it. You know, sometimes they put the wrong name on the envelope.
Yeah.
And, I mean, it's possible that that happened here, right?
Not tonight.
Funny bit. And another memorable highlight. There were many from this particular Emmys, but another one was Sean Spicer making a surprise appearance, wheeling out his own podium to confirm the size of the crowd. Here it is.
Of course, what really matters to Donald Trump is ratings. You got to have the big numbers. And I certainly hope we achieve that tonight. Unfortunately, at this point, we have no way of knowing how big our audience is. I mean, is there anyone who could say how big the audience is? Sean, do you know?
This will be the largest audience
to witness an Emmys, period, both in person and around the world. Wow, that really soothes my fragile ego. I can understand why you'd want one of these guys around. Melissa McCarthy, everybody, give it up.
And then later they asked Sean Spicer, you know, did you think you were, you know, inappropriate at taking digs at the president? He said, absolutely not. I was making fun of myself. I was making fun of some of the things that I've said. And
it's fine.
I think he won a lot of friends doing that.
Yeah, I think everyone likes when anyone can. Self-deprecation is the number one. It's like the most attractive quality of a powerful person.
Yeah.
You know, not for like you or Theo, Brian, but for someone like
I've
me,
it's wild.
It's an
men.
Intoxicant. Yeah. You know what I mean? It's an aphrodisiac. Yeah. Right. So the making fun of oneself when someone is powerful or on the inside or whatever, everyone loves that. And by the way, you almost immediately forgive whatever it is you didn't like about the person as soon as they make a joke about themselves.
Yes. Yeah. And something similar happened when Veep won for best comedy, right? I believe.
I think so.
And
it's on my sheet.
Yeah, me too. Anyway, they won. They won a big prize. And yes, for comedy series. And the creator, the producer came out, and Julia Louis-Dreyfus was right behind him. And he says, the reason why the show has been able to be so successful is we have a 0% tolerance for jerk-offs. So besides Julia Louis-Dreyfus, we have been really good at maintaining that policy. And she laughed, and you know, she was the big winner anyway.
The here's a question, since we're just sort of talking politics. So you always hear, oh, it was the lowest rated one, because in a weird way, maybe these things are always just going to be the lowest rated one from this day forth. Just like, you know, Miss America. Right. Miss America used
to have its day.
Doesn't have the juice.
Yeah.
There's too much on now.
Well, sorry, but the irony is that all the how we were just talking yesterday or whatever it was, 2 days ago, I think yesterday, about how all these nominees, the vast majority of nominees are coming from online or other, you know, non-network sources, Netflix and such and such. So it would stand to reason that less people watching the networks, less people watching the award show on the big network.
And hanging out with Americans, like, there is, I mean, it's hard to get a good American anymore. So I think a lot of people want something, an import.
That's
what I meant to say.
Yeah. Is the politics hurting the middle of the country? Do you think I'd like to see a graph to see, like, maybe the middle of the country just goes, I'm tired of those jack off Hollywood guys making their proclamations or whatever it is.
Well, but wasn't the Oscars highly rated this year?
I don't know.
I thought it was.
I guess. I'm going to say yes because I wrote on that thing, bitch. My family never stops reminding me of it.
Gary can check that, but it would be one or the other, I think. they'd be simpatico, I think.
The
theory is correct.
It makes sense, but the Oscars, when was the Oscars?
There was probably more Trump stuff at the time because it was right after the inauguration. It was like less than a month after the inauguration.
Yeah, but it's been ratcheted up.
Yeah, there might be some fatigue.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like people
I feel like the middle of the country doesn't care. I think they have animosity toward Hollywood.
And then I wonder if that spills over to SNL, who has basically base their entire season around Trump.
I don't know, but those ladies are strong on SNL. Yes, yeah, go ahead.
This year's Oscars garnered 32.9 million viewers, which is a 4% drop from the previous year.
Told you.
Now, I haven't seen a lot of the stuff. I've never seen Master of None. I don't know how
you're asking the wrong guy.
I've seen two episodes. I hadn't gotten into it yet, but everybody loves it.
Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt, I've not seen.
Fantastic.
Either. That's funny. Fantastic. Now, I know Silicon Valley's great. And I know everything else on there, but I've not seen Master of None.
I'm pretty excited personally that Black Mirror got two big nods. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Are you into that?
That's the dark arts, yes. People thinking about, you know, what could happen, what the future is going to be like when people are getting attacked by, you know, magical bats that have data in them and all kinds of stuff like that, you know, and I think it's exciting.
It's, like a dystopian tech plot, usually. Like it's our Twilight Zone. It's the new Twilight Zone.
Yeah.
There's too much. Is. There's too much good out there.
Speaking of which, do you guys watch Last Week Tonight with John Oliver, the one who won the award? It's one of the few shows I do watch.
It's fantastic. A good show. Yeah, it's he's really great. Well, yeah, he's great. I mean, he delivers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it feels like they were joking, alluding to. It does feel like it should be in a different category because once a week is very different than five nights a week. But that said, it's a different quality animal. Show.
It is. Boy, I got to tell you, the difference between doing a daily, nightly show and the once a week show is the difference between packing for a vacation and, oh my God, the fire's crested the ridge. It's coming at us. Like, either way, you're gathering stuff and leaving, but there's a totally different cadence.
One's
there.
One's a bit more hurried.
Oh, I cannot. I've been in both environments a million times. I've sat next to Jimmy and for both environments. You know, we do the man show. It'd be like, you know, so we're doing two. We're going to do two episodes on Friday, and it'd be, you know, Tuesday. And I'd go like, you know, how's the how's zip it, bitch? How's that doing? I don't know. I'm going to go hit the edit bay and see how that's going. And then I'd go and like look at it, and then I'd come back to the office, and I'd be like, well, they're going to have a rough cut for tomorrow. We'll take a look at a string out or something tomorrow, and then I'd go back again. Like there was versus we're doing a show at 5 o'clock tonight. It's noon. We got to get the monologue. What's going on?
Yeah.
That we shot a field piece, but it's got to roll tonight and for a segment. Like, there is a thing that's going on. And let me tell you, it's the enemy of comedy because there's a lot of compromises, a lot of, well, we didn't really work it out, but we're throwing it up.
It's good enough.
Anyway, it's good enough. And there's a lot.
Yeah.
There's a lot of that. And I would say the same thing. People don't do it anymore, but when they used to bitch about SNL, like, hey man, you don't know what it's like to do sketches, and then when you're done with that week, get a whole brand new set of sketches. Like, sketches need to be honed and worked out and crafted and what have you, and you get to do none of that. You get one shot, then we do new one. You never, like, by definition, a sketch only really gets good when it's really been honed and worked and nuanced and this, that, and the other. You'll never get to that phase, and you're judging it by the wrong ruler.
Right, and if you hit the wrong emphasis on a word or whatever, your sketch gets cut right before the live show goes.
I had an uncle used to say, you can't make a diamond in 40 minutes. That's what he said. You know, it takes time. You got to have time. You got to have ingredients. You got to have pressure. You got to have walls. You got to have old men down there leaving their families and canaries dying in the cellars and everything. You got to have all of that. To make a diamond.
I feel like there's enough nightly shows out there that you could simply have a late night category.
Yeah.
Open it up to 12:30 and 11:30 and... there's plenty of folks with plenty of talent who all are playing on the same playing field because they're not doing a once-a-week show. They're doing five nights a week. Simply have a late-night category.
Yeah. Feels like John Oliver exists in that SNL realm where it's once a week. It's honed. It's what it is.
Yeah, he can compete against Bill Maher, and the guys who go every night can compete against those guys.
Right.
Because that's... totally, especially if you're going to pick one episode and go, this is the one episode.
It's like they have divisions in high school football or college football or weight classes.
And the thing about nightly is the whole thing is not one episode. It's the whole, it's the whole 20-year career. It's not the one
Like, it's kind of weird. You don't think back, you know, when you think about Carson or whoever, you don't think about that one episode.
Yeah,
you think about
weird.
His career.
Yeah, you
know?
Submit the one.
Yes.
And Adam, you might have obviously some insight into this. Did you feel like when you used to watch guys like Carson or some of these other late night guys, that they used to give them a little bit more room to breathe on there than they do now?
They do. They did. Yeah. I feel like, well, the people are sitting there drinking and smoking.
Yeah.
And yes. Wait a minute. Does the Oscars get nominated? Are they going to get nominated next year? Is that how it works?
I feel like every year they're either up or something for best award show.
Did they not get anything this year?
It's up against the Tonys or something.
I didn't hear
Variety. Is it in Variety?
That's the only shot I ever got at anything close to an Emmy. I got to glom on to some, you know, I got to be like the 17th rider. Yeah. On something that wins something.
But then you're still the tallest guy on stage, so that's got to be kind of cool because everybody at least sees you. You know?
Oh, wait, Gary's got something.
I don't know if it was on TV, but it did win the Oscar for Outstanding Director for a variety special.
Hey, look at you, Adam.
Looks like it was nominated for several things.
Yeah, I was sitting in that guy's office right before the Oscars started, which is weird.
You basically won an Emmy.
Yeah, congratulations.
Yeah, there we go. Thank you.
Well,
right.
I would love to give an update on the Kevin Hart story from yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
We have a lot of unanswered questions, and we're getting closer to some answers. So yesterday,
he's got a target on his crotch.
Yeah.
Exactly.
It's that money nuts.
Yeah.
Reported that he posted this apology to his wife and kids on Instagram. Adam thought the apology fell a little flat. I don't disagree. After a woman who he'd allegedly had relations with tried to extort him, the FBI has identified the woman who seduced him in a sexually provocative video. The recording is not necessarily a sex tape, though. People who saw it says it features, quote, a creaking bed frame and some slapping. Now, here's the new info.
What year did he cheat? Like, he cheated in a cabin around the turn of the century.
I think this is who Kerry Washington was talking about, maybe.
So this is the new info from The Blast. It claims that not only did she try to get $10 million out of him, but she was part of a bigger criminal crime ring. A detective claims she's, quote, one part of a well-orchestrated, highly sophisticated setup with multiple accomplices.
Well, first off, they're not that highly sophisticated or we wouldn't be talking about
them
on my podcast.
And they have better beds.
He'd be like between he'd be about 7.5 lighter in the bank account, and we wouldn't know shit. So that's highly. We'll just call him sophisticated. I'm going to remove the highly part. Highly, we wouldn't know.
That's true. So
this stuff has to be going on all the time, right? Because if you're – okay. Let me – we were talking about Dove and the new definition of beauty. Let me give you the old definition of horny. Dudes are dudes, and your die gets cast – around the ninth grade in terms of a dude and like who you are and who you are to women and how you see yourself in the population of women.
Not Brian Bishop.
Yeah. Yeah. That shit gets carved in. And look, some
it sure does.
Yeah.
There are many cases when you see the dude and he's got the male pattern baldness and the gunt slopping over the shorts and everything else. And he thinks he's something because that dude was something in the ninth grade.
Right.
And then there's the low self-esteem dudes who that's where I come from. Like I'd be on MTV. I was on MTV every night, you know, for an hour, five nights a week. Like every time I went to a strip club, and I was only like four nights a week. But I mean,
on those rare occasions,
you go to Vegas, go to strip club. My show would be I'd be on the TV because it'd be the only thing you didn't need the sound. They just put it on MTV and turn the sound down.
Yeah,
and then like hot chicks would come up and talk to me, but that's I was still like confused.
Right.
Like it was still like, why are you talking to me? And I was like, because you're on MTV. Because there's nothing wrong with you.
Did
but
you ever
I,
cash in, or you just couldn't let yourself?
Because occasionally go to one of those predatory check cashing places and hammer one.
Yeah.
So I've always whatever was carved into me was carved. I just was who I was.
Right.
Now there is no amount of money, therapy, or basic cable exposure that'll ever really fix whoever you think you are. From the ninth grade.
Right.
So dudes who are always horny and always feeling like they didn't get what they could have got in high school and guys like Kevin Hart, short man.
Diminutive.
Mm-hmm. Napoleon.
syndrome.
Yeah.
You know?
Napoleon, is that like a black Napoleon?
It's what a black Napoleon.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Yeah, it's a D apostrophe.
I love that, dude.
Yeah.
We had a kid in our school named No Dante. And his real name was Dante, but his mother named him No Dante because she knew he'd be misbehaving. So wow. He had No in the front of his name.
No Dante, yeah.
No Dante.
I wonder if he hung out with Napoleon.
I don't know. He might have.
Napoleon complex?
That's right. Napoleon complex when it's a short black man. Right.
And we had a beautiful brother named Coincidence, which I thought was a beautiful name, actually.
Wait, that's first
French.
Name?
Coincidence, yeah. Like, you know, when something happens and then it happens again?
I work with a guy named Doug. We worked with him for many years. He went to school in New Jersey.
Oh.
And there's a gal, I won't say what color, but her name was Nachilla.
Ooh, yeah.
I just thought that's the greatest name.
Oh, yeah. That
ever.
Sounds like a black vampire.
I don't know what color. I never asked what color she was.
Definitely not a Jew.
I don't see color. But the point is this.
Nachilla the honey.
No matter how rich the guy is, does not matter what the responsibilities are, it doesn't matter, whatever, he's still that dude. And when smoking hot chicks come up, and I've said this many times, you may think you're the celebrity in the room. No, no. The smoking hot 23-year-old chick is always the celebrity in the room. If there's a table and it's Kevin Hart and The Rock and George Clooney and their waitress is a smoking hot 23-year-old, they're trying to make small talk with her. That's how our wiring works. That's where we're at. So if you wanted to do a thing where you took guys who lived in California or New York and a divorce was going to cost them $30 million or more, and you just went in and you know, put a dashboard cam on the coos and sent them in, that's a business decision like settling out of court. So you're basically just a company, and you go in that courtroom, you could be down $30 million, or you could settle up with 7.5 right now. You cut a check. Yeah. I could see where this was a business, and I wouldn't be surprised if they were doing this all over the place.
Well, that's what makes them highly sophisticated.
That's right.
Well, I think it's time some of these women strike back and get some of that money, you know? Guy's the Allen Iverson, really. I mean, he already has a wife, an ex-wife, and I think two children.
He does have already have
so
them.
He could end up, this could be an Allen Iverson story.
Oh, wow. John Stockton story.
He needs to strike back.
Mark
all right,
Price.
So he put out his thing. That's kind of weird.
He was trying
to
get out in front of it.
Doing it to your kids is weird. I mean, including the kid. It's just a weird thing where you have to go on record and do public apologies, and you have to do it with your kids and stuff like that, so they can see it on the internet. I don't know. Just you know, throw them in the station wagon and do that thing that guys are best at, which is driving and talking. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't need to establish eye contact. You don't have, because that would be unsafe. You put them in the back and you talk while you're driving.
Yeah. I remember my dad ripped the rearview mirror off when he was talking about sex ed to me. Yeah. Wow. He was also in his 80s, so he could have just been senile.
That's right. He was insanely old.
Yeah. But anyway.
That just reminded me, in college, we were so looking forward to this big New Year's Eve party. Everybody was going to this big house, so excited. And my boyfriend, who was a junior and I was a freshman, said, absolutely not. I'm taking you away for the weekend. And I was like, oh, okay. I thought we were going to this party, but this is so romantic. And we went to some little town in Kansas and had a little, you know, bed and breakfast, whatever. And it came to find out he took me out of town that weekend because it was going to be revealed to me that he had been cheating on me.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to get the lady off the college campus for that.
Nice.
All romantic.
Yeah, that's beautiful. Banging in a day's in out in the suburbs.
Yeah,
while
man.
While the truth is just floating around town.
Who knew?
That's awesome.
Not little Gina.
So Kevin Hart did what now?
So he got on Instagram, gave the whole public apology, and said, you know, there's a target on my back. They tried to extort me. Now we know it's a sophisticated crime ring, tried to get $10 million to keep this whole thing quiet. And he said, screw it, I'll tell him.
Yeah.
Well, he didn't really, but he
also
alluded.
Yeah, the Russians. I smell Russian to me.
Think so?
Yeah. Well, there's always hot, desperate chicks who'll do about anything, and then there's the guys. You know, the I feel like the guys behind them that no scruples, no morals. They'll do anything, and it just kind of makes you wonder, like, how many and who?
Yeah, how many don't we know?
You know what I mean?
Gotta be.
I bet there's going to be more information on this.
I love this. I love that it's coming to this.
I'll keep
man.
An eye on that.
Hey, if I got to go into deep cover to crack this case, I'll do it. I don't care how many 23-year-olds I have to fuck. I'll do it.
You should go undercover at a sorority
house. I'll blow this case wide open.
That's right.
Be the chef at the sorority house.
Blow the lid off of this case. Tell you that right now.
Adam's Omelets, ladies, rise and shine. I can see
deep cover. Yeah, someone's got to stand up.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Really get in there.
Yeah.
But are there any heroes? Do you think there's any, is it even possible to be a role model anymore, Adam?
No. I'm trying to think. Well, if you're a heavy set chick, Dove, you watch Dove commercials, that'll make you feel better about yourself, but only if you're morbidly obese. And other than that, I think we've pretty much decided that every celebrity and every politician and everyone is just basically corruptible, and or if they're not, we've labeled them boring. We don't want to talk to the monk, and we don't want to talk to the guy who's been married to the same woman for 31 fabulous years. We want to talk to the guy who's loved and lost and been busted. And, you know, we want to hang out with Wesley Snipes, you know. Yeah. We don't want to hang around with the guy's been married to the same woman since high school. Right. Yeah.
There's a reason Kobe Bryant's jersey is the number one seller, not John Stockton's.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Right?
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to talk to the artist. You want to talk to the guy who's been dyeing his semen and painting. You know?
Yeah.
That's a bad correlation.
All right, one more.
All right. Well, this is a couple days old, but I believe we need to talk about it. Followers of the hip-hop group Insane Clown Posse, they're known as Juggalos, if you didn't know, held a march over the weekend on the National Mall, alleging discrimination after the FBI labeled the group a gang in 2011. That's from the USA Today. In a video on their website, hip-hop artists, they claim their fans have lost jobs, they've lost custody of their kids, and they've been denied access to the military for being Juggalos. Juggalos are known for displaying the band's symbol, which is a man running with a hatchet, and the signature white and black face. The FBI placed Juggalos on the 2011 National Gang Threat Assessment following reports of crimes committed by people with Juggalo tattoos and clothing. Federal officials estimate that more than 1 million Juggalos reside in the U.S. Now, there were many quotes from Juggalos in the crowd. One girl in the crowd claimed
What's their beverage of choice? Is it
Fago.
Like Fagala or something?
It's
like a Jewish sports drink.
What about these?
Is it really Fago?
Yes.
I love Fago.
What about these sand Juggalos, though? That's what I'm worried about, bro. That's the big issue.
So one girl in the crowd claimed that no one will hire her because of the music she listens to. She went on to say that she'd been fired from her job as a parole officer because of her Juggalo association.
Coincidence. What?
Yeah. Listen, I love the Insane Clown Posse. They're nice. They're nice guys. But see, here's the whole thing. Things don't, they don't really live in a vacuum. Mm-hmm. Like if you're a Juggalo who drinks a lot of Fagalo.
Bluesberry.
Fago.
Yeah. Then there's probably many other components of your personality that many employers would frown upon.
Yeah.
Is basically what I'm saying.
If you drink blue soda pop, then there's going to be other things that come with that.
Yeah. Not just the blue gum and lip thing, you know, especially if I got you at the counter.
It's going to be sunburn, probably. It's a gateway soda.
There's going to be a lot of, I injured myself on a ski-doo again, and I can't make it in.
Yeah.
There's going to be a lot of stuff that is not attractive to employers.
Carpal tunnel, a lot of that.
Yeah, throttle hand. Yeah. Carpal tunnel. Yeah, I had my kid on my lap. I was just going on my ATV, just minding my own business on someone else's campsite when I hit a log. And so I can't come in on Monday.
Coincidence. You know?
Plus, when the running of the Juggalos happens or whatever that big event, the big jugberry they have, you're going to miss a week of work right there.
Yeah.
Right?
Another bachelor party, Mitch?
A lot of people wearing back braces for no reason.
That's
right. Those kind of people. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yep. So there's some issues there.
Yeah.
I get it.
It's not just the music. It's a lifestyle.
It's probably not a good era to be a Juggalo. It's a tough. I feel like you're probably taking a lot of heat for Trump.
Yeah, you could have flown to the radar for a long time. This is not a good era.
Have you seen the documentary about the Juggalos?
No.
It is awesome.
I have not.
What fascinating. Is... Gary, do you remember? Gary, you saw it. You know what the name is?
American Juggalo.
Oh my God. It is worth a watch. Mm. They go to like one of their festivals for the weekend and
yeah. Whew,
I want to see some of their Chinese fans. That's what I feel like. I wonder what the exchange rate is on juggaloship, you know, when you get into some of these other cultures.
Yeah. Interesting.
You know,
yeah.
Some of their African juggalos. I wonder if the,
I really only saw about one color.
Yeah, I wonder
culture.
If the ICP thing translates. Yeah.
It'd be interesting to see a Chinese group of Chinese juggalos or Korean juggalos.
I think they're jugglers.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I don't know that there's any juggalos.
A lot of upper arm on their ladies. That seems to be a through line. I don't know if they share a lot of commonality with everyone else, but a lot of upper back arm on the ladies.
Coincidence. Yeah, that's high tricep.
The right? High tricep, yeah. All right, let's bring it home.
You got it. I'm Gina Grad, and that's the news. El Gordo y la Flaca.
Gina Grad.
That was the news with Gina Grad.
Let's go with Simply Safe, everybody. You take precautions every day. You got a case for your phone. You have identity theft protection. Yeah, you know about that. But how about Simply Safe? No hassle. Just order it online. Two I's in there. Simply Safe. Completely wireless. Comes pre-programmed to work right out of the box. Install it yourself in under an hour. No activation fees, no holes in the wall, no exposed wires. Simple, fast, and easy. Round-the-clock professional monitoring with emergency dispatch. Only $14.99 with no long-term lock-in contracts. Why would you do anything else? Protect your family. Get a little break on your renter's insurance. SimplySafeAdam.com. Get 10% off. Peel and stick. Batteries last up to 10 years. Get up and running in under an hour. That's SimplySafeAdam.com. Get the 10% off your home security system with the best and great sponsors. These guys are good. Simply Safe. All right. This Saturday, Chicago, Park West, me doing a one-man show there. Come check that out. And then Minneapolis at the Music Hall, October 13th and then October 14th, Nashville Polk Theater. Also, me and Dennis Prager in Brooklyn, November 29th at King's Theater. And come say hi. Us doing live podcast, Irvine, October 5th and October 26th. We got Bakersfield and we got Oxnard on the 12th of November. Go to adamcarolla.com for all the stuff, including the cruise and Corolla drinks and all that kind of stuff.
Last chance for cruise seats or cruise rooms, yeah. They say.
I'm looking forward to that, chance. Man. All right. This past weekend, new episodes every Monday. And you can check that out at iTunes or you can go to Theo's website, TheoVaughn.com. Also go to Theo's website to find out about Allegedly and also tour dates and stand-up dates at TheoVaughn.com. Yes, Theo?
I appreciate you guys having me, man. It's a pleasure.
Always a pleasure when Theo Vaughn swings by. So, till next time, Adam Carolla for Theo Vaughn, Gina Grad, and Paul Bryan saying mahalo.
Can I use your vagina? You're not using it right now.
Follow the Adam Carolla Show on Twitter at Adam Carolla Show. Follow Ace on Twitter at Adam Carolla. Leave us a voicemail, and the phone number is 888-634-1744. Sorry about that. I had a bumper pad that just jumped on my computer. Gina Grad is on the radio weekday mornings at 100.3 The Sound in L.A. And the Ace Man kicks off the Not Talk About Material tour this Saturday in Chicago. He'll be in Minneapolis October 13th and Nashville on October 14th. Get your tickets now at adamcarolla.com.